Talk show?
Recorded live.
Merry Christmas, I don't want to fight tonight with...
This is your old pal Gary Busey saying all I want for Christmas is to paint the room with your blood, namely the blood of El Topo. I love
hey!
You guys.
Hey, Happy Gary Jesus. Busey. How you doing, buddy?
Hey. Who the heck
how do you...
is
my...
the ghost of that guy?
This is my new radio voice. Yes.
I don't know what I was going for. I felt like this being the Christmas episode, I should be more festive and more like a real regular radio DJ. So,
don't you ever fucking do that again.
You didn't like that, Gary?
I will cut you.
Well, thank you, Gary. Thanks for being a part of the show. As always, from what I understand, you have a musical number later on in the show for us. Is that correct? I understand.
Pretty fucking stoked.
I can't wait to hear it. All right, if you pass the mic to Mr. Goggs.
Yahoo! What's going on, everybody?
Hey, Goggs!
How you doing?
Make it mixing and... power jamming.
Hey, this is El Topo here. This is our Christmas episode, and we got the big orange Gags next to me. How you doing there, Gags?
Oh, I'm doing good there, buddy. I'm just sitting here just rocking out, just trying to get real, trying to get warm and cold weather. Real warm, waiting for that big red man to come down the chimney and give me all those presents. Because you know it's Christmas time, and you know it means you got to be festive and cheerful.
Seriously, we would be such perfect morning DJs. Like, we got it down. That's fucking amazing.
We are morning zoo material.
Dude, we would rule. We would be like the greatest of like that crap genre.
We'd be like, hey, we got a little Jessica Simpson coming at you. She's 7 weight from the net. She's skinny and got big tits. Everybody, Jessica Simpson.
Like, that's
we
good,
would
right?
murder drive time. That'd be
dude,
great.
I'd be the best. This is why, I mean, listen, radio people, if you're listening to the show, listen to that. And guys can do it right, too. It's like, hey, guys, I hear Ashley Simpson.
Hey, what's going on there? Brittany Murphy is dead. That is right. Brittany Murphy is dead. She was in a movie called Dead Girl. I guess it's appropriate now. Brittany Murphy is dead.
Oh, Gags, you're working a little blue there, buddy. I think that's a little too much. You're supposed to be
well,
dead.
FCC, lick my balls. That's right, FCC, lick my balls. I don't care if you're run by Colin Powell's son. I don't think you run by them anymore, but I don't give a shit.
You know, I wish that there was an excuse for us to talk like that, like... every day. Like,
all
you get
the
a birthday and be like, hey there, I'd like a number two with cheese, hold the bacon, and hold the onions, and a large Diet Coke.
Like, quite frankly, Judge, I thought she was of age. I was not aware that she was a minor, and that's gonna fuck me up and put me in prison. I don't want to be accused of having the short eyes, but look at her, you tell me you wouldn't bang her.
The short eyes. Yeah, that should be, that's a good sketch for a lawyer show. You could have be like the DJ lawyer.
It's like, hey.
There should be a good sketch in general. Just like the DJ that's got to get, like the DJ just put in awkward situations.
He's got to get like a regular
voice.
Job.
Like that's his natural voice. Like that's how
right.
he talks.
Like
he was.
But he doesn't know no better.
He was perfectly suited for the radio, but he got like fined by the FCC, and now like he has like, to get a regular job, and he just doesn't know how to like adapt to the real world. Like he's got to go to confession. He's like, I've sinned quite a bit, and I've taken. What's his name in vain? I'm cheating on my wife. I'm cheating on my taxes. I thought about murdering the guy to beat my children. I'll say 15 Hail Marys. Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for sinners now and the hour of our death. Amen.
All right, I got another one. You could be like a phone sex operator. It's like, oh, what are you wearing right now? Ooh, negligee. That sounds pretty hot. Oh, I'm getting kind of hard over here. Oh, whoa.
Oh, you made me so horny now.
Do you want me to lick your ass?
Hey, that sounds pretty crazy. You got a little crazy sexual thing going on there. You're a little rebel over there on the other end of the phone, aren't you?
All right, well, so.
Well, what if he was working a suicide hotline?
And what would that
sound
like?
No, I don't think he's worth it. I think you should probably just step up off that ledge. I don't know what kind of pills you took, but I wouldn't have taken them unless they were fun pills. You know what I'm saying? You know, we'd have a good time. We all like to party with little Jack Daniels, get a little crazy sometimes. But quite frankly, I think you don't should be ending your life because, you know, living's important.
This, ladies and gentlemen, is all the reason that Gogs and I should either be on a daily radio show or...
Oh my
that,
God!
Be writers on a sketch comedy show because I think that sketch would be hilarious and far better than anything you've seen on SNL. But wow, I got way off topic there. But I'd like to introduce everybody, or not introduce, but I'd like to welcome everyone to the show. This is, of course, the Molehole Radio, your favorite podcast about everything El Topo and Gogs related. And let's face
it's the reason you have fires, people.
Yeah, I mean, and the thing is that people might say, well, who the hell are El Topo and Gogs? Why do I care about what they do in their day-to-day lives? Well, you know what? You know it's a goddamn lie. You know you all think about us every single minute of the day and go, I wonder what Gogs and Topo are doing right now. And then you're like, doodly-doodly. But this
we're an
is
infection,
our,
people. There's no cure.
Yes. This is also, just by default and the fucking day of the week it is and the date on the calendar, this is our fucking Christmas show. And I hate Christmas with a fucking passion. But before we get into all that nonsense, for those of you that are on the outhousers.com and Gogs, I do believe that is the greatest comic book website ever. Is that not correct? Did you not read that?
I believe, www.theouthousers.com. I believe,
yes.
I read it in a men's stall yesterday at a Denny's.
Yes.
It was on the wall in what could either be blood and feces. Go here, best comic book forum on the internet. And then someone else responded, and what could only be semen, hell yes, you're completely
nice.
Correct.
Nice, nice.
So thank you, Denny's.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Denny's, the stuff that's written on Denny's wall is like the gospel to me. But to those people and to anybody else, I did tease that there is a potentially, how did I word it, a potentially depressing, a potentially hilarious, very awkward, humorous situation that happened to me on Thursday of last week. Now, I have only told, two people in my real life what actually happened. And I gotta bitch him out, one of those people, a little bit, because that one person is Gogs, and the other person
Hi.
Is my buddy Vinny. And we were in a long car ride, and Gogs kept hounding me to tell him the story. Now, that's fine and dandy and all, but you got to understand, people, that when this event got finished, I texted Gogs immediately, and I actually said in the text that I wish it was Tuesday. I wish it was like Monday night or Tuesday, so because I have a great story to tell, and I feel like I'd ruin it. And Gogs, before I even like his next text back was, "Don't tell me, keep it for the show." So Gogs' own words, "Don't tell him." He wanted to be surprised, just like everybody else tonight. But like he does, he dragged it out of me. So Gogs
chewed me out.
Yeah, Gogs does know the story, but I promise. And Gogs, would you say that it's definitely something to keep tuned in for? Right? It's a good.
Oh,
one.
I would say it's. I'd say, and I would love to hear audience reaction personally. I'd like to know
what their feelings are, you know, because I had a interpretation of the events. I'd like to hear other people's thoughts.
Yeah, it's a good one.
It's a hell of a story. I can't beat it.
It's one of those things that I listen to Howard Stern quite a bit. He's definitely a huge inspiration to me, especially in this gig, obviously. But I'm a big Howard Stern fan, and he said something to me maybe 2 weeks ago that resonated with me quite a bit. And he was talking about how, like, a lot of DJs want to be honest, and they want to be honest until they get to a point where they have to say something that's, like, really incriminating or embarrassing to them, you know what I mean? That's something that would really affect them in public, you know what I mean? Like, everybody wants to be honest and say they're honest and they're, you know, this honest person to their audience. But when it comes down to brass tacks, like, if they got to say something that's going to make them look maybe lesser in the eyes of the general public or their listening public, then they're not going to do it. Well, I honestly think that this is one of those situations where I think that once I tell you this story, I think that most people would agree this is something that they would usually keep to themselves, because it's definitely an embarrassing story, if nothing else, and in my opinion, very depressing. But I'll get into that later, and I'll tease it a bit. And if you want to bitch at me for not explaining the story at the top of the show, blame Jude Terra. I can't say no to that guy. I think he's our biggest fan, and he said he wouldn't be around until a little later tonight. So I'm going to wait to get the big reveal to Jude Terra and to everybody else that's tuning in. So probably in about 20 minutes. So there's a big teaser for you. So there again, me and Gogs, very
This is like a real radio show.
Yes, we're very professional. We're like an actual radio show now. We're actually teasing our segments. So in about 20 minutes, give or take, maybe a little more, maybe a little less, we will have a very funny and a very potentially traumatizing El Topo story for y'all to digest.
If I could add to the fervor that we're building right here, I'd just like to say that much like El Topo mentioned that here's something that most people would not admit to. I'm a man who I think that Topo would agree. I'm a fairly open book. I admit
absolutely.
To most things I've done.
Absolutely.
I don't know if I would admit to this. So this is pretty. This is pretty.
Really?
Good.
All right, we'll get into that later. But remind me that when we talk about it. It'll be easier to talk about once we put it out there. But you actually feel that if this, I mean, obviously, well, I can't give too much away. But in a different circumstance, if this happened to you, you wouldn't say anything.
I don't know if I'd readily divulge it as you have.
Okay. Now
we'll get into it. We'll get into it.
Would you have told me? Would you have told
yes.
like? Yeah. Okay. All right. Fair enough. Let's. But again, this is all just hype. You guys will find out soon enough. The horrors that happened in my fucking terrible, terrible life, and. I also might have a preview of something that potentially is horrible that I may or may not be getting into. So how is that for a teaser? I mean, if I was listening to this, I couldn't fucking wait. I would be beating off in anticipation. I can't wait.
I'd be taking weight, mate.
nice Tim and Eric reference. But anyway, let's officially start the show because we've really jumped all over the place already, but that's a good thing. As everyone knows, this show is all about hatred. And like we enjoy doing on each and every episode, we like to start off with a hate segment. So I'm going to pass the proverbial mic to Mr. Goggles and ask him, Mr. Goggs, what do you hate this week?
This week it's kind of a shotgun blast of hate.
Nice.
But this week, if I had to pick what I hated, it would be every fucking one.
Wow.
Anyone I like today, I'll put a qualifier on that. If I did not have an actual interaction with you, whether it be a wave of the hand, a nod, or I spoke a word to you,
right.
So if you're the general unwashed masses that I had literally no interaction with, I hated you today. You didn't know how to fucking drive. You didn't know how to walk through a goddamn store. You couldn't maneuver your car through a parking lot. I had the pleasure of having to go to my bank today to run an actual – because I have the – what's the word I'm looking for here? Oh, shit. Courtesy to do all my fucking Christmas shopping before Thanksgiving or shortly thereafter. I don't wait till the goddamn week of and figure, I need to crowd the Walmart right next to my bank. So I had to go run to my bank today and deal with that mass of people. Then I went to go pick up District 9 today because it's out on DVD. So I had to go run by Best Buy.
Oh, shit.
And that,
I forgot about that.
And the Best Buy in our town is located in, like, the worst set of parking lots and intersections you've ever seen.
It really
is. And it's
is
nothing
like
but big box stores over there.
Terrible.
Like, every sales associate I dealt with, every person that I interacted with, as far as a wave of the hand here, a you go ahead there, perfectly fine. No problem with you. It's the great unwashed masses that I can't fucking stand today. You people drive me goddamn nuts, and you're just incompetent and ineptitude. They're the people that, like when the light turns yellow and, you know, like you're sitting, or Betty, you're on that one side of the light and you see that the other side of the light's jammed up to fuck. So,
right, sure.
You don't, you pull through the light and you just wait in the intersection. So that
I
can't
that.
Go where I need to.
I fucking that drives
oh
me
my
fucking
God.
Crazy.
I cannot stand. I pull right, if I'm in the front car, I pull right up next to your passenger side door, and I just honk my horn, and I'll
just,
hold it until one of us moves.
Just to interject for 1 second, and I've brought this up on the show before. Goggs and I live literally in like one of the biggest, I would say, like shopping zones in all of the state. Like if you
no
live
culture,
in,
just all retail.
Yeah, if you live anywhere in like the Baltimore, like suburban area, like the outside the city, even in the city, because there's not a hell of a lot of shopping in the city, especially if you want to go to like Target and shit. Everyone comes to where Goggs and I live, and it like I said,
we live right
before,
next to one of the most popular malls on the East Coast.
Yeah, we live. Arundel Mills Mall is what the like it's like the third biggest mall in all the country. Like it's insanely
well,
huge.
It's like it does like the most. It does some of the most business on the. It's the what was the theater? The theater there.
Oh, Movie
I think
Co.
It does the most business in the entire country.
Yeah. Well, now
it did
it's not
point.
Called Movie Co. anymore. It's called like
Cinemark now.
Cinemark. Yeah. But, yeah, Goggs and I live in probably the worst area to be in during Christmas. It's like a war zone. But, yeah, anyway, Goggs, you're totally right. You're 100% right. It is, like, today, my commute home usually takes me about 20 to 30 minutes, give or take. 20 to 30 minutes in heavy traffic. Today, an hour. Because, like, and, you know, when you ever get in these big kind of backups and just traffic is stopped all around you, when you get, you want to drive eventually to see some kind of epicenter, some kind of horrible, you know, apocalyptic car crash, just to justify the time that you've wasted sitting in your fucking car. But nothing. It's just people that don't know how to fucking merge into lanes that end and fucking people that just, like, decide they want to fucking turn, that go across three lanes at right, you know, right before a red light.
Was it Carlin that wanted them to wheel the body? Like, wheel the body up to my car. I want to see it. I want to know why I've been sitting here.
Yeah, he's totally right. I think it was Carlin. I mean, but it's awful around here, man. It is totally awful. But I don't know. I don't know. But you're totally right. Do you have anything else that you wanted to add on to that?
Well, you know, on top of everything else, it's like, you know, and I like Christmas. I'm a big proponent of Christmas. But do they have to make the biggest – I mean, I know we can't change it, and that's a fucking shame.
Yes.
But does the biggest shopping holiday of the whole year have to be in arguably the worst driving season of the entire year? Because
well,
the combination –
Well, let me ask
you
a question. Okay. Isn't it the worst driving season because of the holiday?
No.
I mean,
what I'm getting at is it's already bad enough.
Go ahead.
Then, for those of you who aren't familiar, our area received quite a dousing of snow recently.
The combination
of people still not knowing how to drive on dry pavement just surrounded by snow, between there being no parking spaces because all the snow is piled up in it, and then everyone needs to get their Christmas shopping done, it just makes for a perfect storm nightmare of driving around here.
I live
12 minutes from where I work, and it took me half an hour to get there. Which I know it doesn't really compare to your bitching story, I understand. But
no, I mean, it does.
It was
though,
a pain in the ass for me.
The thing is, man, like, I saw things today. It was just like, people see snow on the road or any kind of inclement condition, and they're like, they freeze up. Like, it's like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, I saw this person today, like, go into a left turn lane, stop. Like, this is, like, in between two cars, stop. then, like, put his flashers on, then try to make a left back on the lane he was just in. And you just, like, look at him, and you're like, what the hell are you doing? Like, what in the fuck are you doing? And this is all over the place.
You know, what's
like,
your end game?
If you're that fucking scared of snow, and to be honest, the snow that Goggs is talking about happened 3 days ago, 4 days ago. It's, for the most part, it's cleared. Like, as far as, like, the roads, the main roads go, I'm not saying it's all gone, and there are, especially in fucking Laurel, where they just decided not to fucking plow anything.
And there's some icy spots at night and first thing in the morning,
but there's
at
no reason,
noon, at
there's
noon,
no reason to
fine.
Fucking drive like this. Like, it's completely, like, irrational and crazy. Like, if you're that fucking scared, stay home, you know?
You know,
like,
but it's not, you're right, it's not even cautious, it's just erratic.
Yeah, it just
it's
doesn't
like
make any sense. Yeah, it's awful. It's like, I don't know, it drives me fucking up the wall. But you're absolutely right. And, I mean, the thing is that, of course, the snow that we did get is very unusual for this time of year for us. Like, I don't think we've gotten a snow this bad in a long time, especially in December.
Like, every 6 or 8 years. Yeah, normally when we get a big snow, it shows up in, like,
January. February, yeah. But, yeah, it sucks. And you're 100% right. And Christmas fucking sucks. But we'll get back into that just a little bit later. Anything else?
Stay cheerful for Christmas, everybody.
Hey,
no,
hey.
I'm good.
Hey. Yeah, my hate. Would you like to know what I hate this week, Goggs?
I would love to know. Ladies and gentlemen, would you like to know what Tubbo hates?
It's not President Barack Obama. I'm indifferent to him. I don't love him, but I don't hate him either. But
he's also indifferent to the American people.
Yeah, that's right. I love cabbage. I'm probably going to get a lot of flack for this, but whatever. This is my fucking show. I say whatever the fuck I want. I hate the fact that death automatically gives people fucking sainthood status. And what specifically talking about is the death of wide receiver Chris Henry. Now, I know a lot of my fucking audience doesn't like sports, but this really isn't even sports related. I mean, it's sort of, I mean, obviously it is because he was a professional athlete, but, you know, the public, like, sentiment for this guy, and he's a young guy, I think he's actually younger than me or Goggs, I think he was like 25 or 26 or something. It's sad that he died. It's sad for his family. Like, I agree with that. Like, it's sad that he's got, like, 5 kids or whatever, and they don't have a father. That is sad, and I don't...
Those 5 kids probably have 5 moms.
I'm not going to argue with the fact that it's sad that 5 kids lost their dad. And I'm not, you know, I'm not going to tell you it's not sad that, you know, a mother and a father or whatever lost their very young son. However, the way they carry on about this guy, like he was like going to turn around his life and how he was like, he had a rough past, but he was a great guy. Let's go down to brass tacks. This fucking guy, the reason he died is because he was in a fight with his wife and he got on the back of a moving truck. This isn't a good person. You don't, like, do that. God only knows where these fucking kids were while he's getting in this fucking fight. This guy isn't Jesus. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I'm sorry he's dead, but he kind of did it to himself. You know what I mean? It's not
you
like
wanna,
this
you
want to
go down the list of his sins?
Yeah, I know. I mean, he did a lot of crap in his life. I mean, you got a list there, Goggs?
Oh, yeah, I do.
Oh, go ahead.
Thank you,
ahead.
Wikipedia.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Off the field problems. I bet someone's just be deleting this as I'm saying it. So this will be
probably, yeah.
First of all, yeah, he was,
you're gonna
he was
like
born
click
in 80...
on it, and be like, what the hell? Like it's gonna like it's slowly going.
The Wikipedia page is gonna say he was awesome, and that's it.
Yeah, he was awesome.
He was born in 83, by the way. So yeah, he's younger. Not he's 2 years younger than you, 3 years younger than me. So December 15th, 2005. Pulled over in northern Kentucky for speeding. During a search, marijuana was found in his shoes. Well, can't get pissed off.
That's nothing.
Much.
All right, so we give that a pass. That's not a sin.
Okay. 1 month later, January 30th, 2006, arrested in Orlando, Florida for multiple gun charges, including concealment and aggravated assault with a firearm.
Well, there you go.
He was reported to be wearing his fucking jersey at the time of the arrest.
Idiot. Okay.
April 29th, Henry allowed 3 underage females, 18, 16, and 15, to consume alcohol at a hotel in Covington, Kentucky. One of the three, the 18-year-old woman, accused Henry of sexually assaulting her. She later retracted her story and was charged with filing a false police report. On January 25th, 2007.
That one's iffy. But it's, I mean, you know, he gave kids liquor, but come on, everybody drinks underage.
Let's see, he's pulled over on Interstate 275 on June 3rd for drunk driving, submitted to a breathalyzer, and was registered at 0.092 blood alcohol level. So they got a DUI.
Mm-hmm.
Suspended from the NFL for 2 games on October 6th for violating the league's personal conduct substance abuse laws.
So, following more April, pot, suspended probably.
Suspended for the first 8 games of the 2007 NFL season for violation of the personal policy conduct policy.
Yeah,
I can't talk. His suspension on the 10th came as a stern warning with future blah, blah, blah. What else we got? Allegedly assaulted a valet in Newport, Kentucky on November 6, 2007.
Right.
On March 31st, 2008, he punched a man named Gregory Meyer, who was 18, and threw a beer bottle through the window of his car. Henry claimed it was a case of mistaken identity and also that he thought that somebody else owed him money. So, I mean,
well,
the guy's just...
clearly, I mean, that's, you know, this guy was a pillar of society.
Litany of problems.
This is my point, and that, you know, they say that he was turning his life around and whatever, and you know what, maybe he was. But the point that I'm trying to make is that the reason he died is because of his own fucking fault. Let's just say you have a girlfriend or you have a wife. Goggs, you have a wife, so I'm going to use you.
I do.
Now, I have a hard time believing that you and your wife ever fight because you guys seem so goddamn freaking happy all the time and it makes me sick. But I'm sure you guys have, you know, your verbal spats once in a while. It's bound to happen. It happens in any relationship. Sure, right?
Immediately, I mean, prior to and after sex.
Oh, that was a good one. But you know what I'm saying, right? Like, there's bound to be disagreements or something, and maybe even like raised voices, and maybe a situation where, like, you know, you go ahead and you cool your head, you know, you let cooler heads prevail, you kind of step away from the situation, and you get away from it. You know what I mean? And obviously, we don't know. Neither one of us know the exact circumstances of what happened. But I mean, it sounds pretty ridiculous that he'd get into a fucking domestic dispute with his wife. I assume that she tried to drive away, and he jumps in the back of the truck. Like, what the fuck are you thinking?
Since he was involved in a car accident in Charlotte where he sustained grave injuries, Charlotte police stated that Henry fell out of the back of a moving truck driven by his fiance while they were engaged in a domestic dispute. So, I mean,
yeah, I mean
the
what the hell
a,
are you
the
doing?
A fuck up. I'm not saying he deserves to die. I don't
not
think
saying
he deserves,
to die, but what I'm saying is, yeah, he didn't deserve to die, but I can't feel bad for someone that did something to themselves. You know, that's what I'm trying to say. And it's not like, all right, I'm going to give you a situation and people might call me a hypocrite.
Why celebrate an asshole?
What
Why
I'm trying to
an asshole?
All right, so there was a player that died on the Redskins a couple of years ago that I actually thought was pretty tragic and pretty sad. Another guy that had some questionable off-the-field activities, and that would be Sean Taylor. Now, the difference is between Sean Taylor and, Henry, is that Sean Taylor got shot in his own house. Like, he was in his house, he got broken into and shot. I don't feel that that's his fault. Now, you can say all you want about, well, it's because he was dealing with the wrong kind of people and all that. Maybe
you lay
so.
With dogs, you get fleas.
Maybe so. But, you know, that never came out. That never really subsided. That was just, you know, people talking. But again, reading just from what the information is given, someone that gets broken into and shot in his own house doesn't seem like his fault. A guy that jumps onto a moving truck getting into a fight with his wife, it's kind of his own
fault.
That's
just bad luck. I mean, it's a stupid decision that results in bad luck.
Yeah, I mean, what the hell is that? You know, I don't know. But I really hate the fact that, like, and I know, like, part of me says that, well, the NFL kind of has to do stuff like this. But can't they just be like, you know, he died, it's tragic that he died, but, like, you got to hear all the players talking about how this guy was so great and a pillar of society and all that. And it's just
it's not true.
It's just like when people die, it's like they become, you know, it's just like the Michael Jackson thing.
Everyone always projected they would be.
Yeah, and it's just like the Michael Jackson thing. When I talked about that and got so much shit on that for YouTube, and if you haven't checked it out, definitely check out my YouTube page. Personally, I think it's one of my better videos. I made a video like 3 hours after Michael Jackson died, just tearing him apart, and it got more comments than any other YouTube video I've ever made. So I think you can check out, I think it's just YouTube/El Topo, but if you want the exact link, you can email me at El Topo XL, that's ELTOPOXL@gmail.com, and I'll paste you the direct link, because I'm still not sure what my exact page is. But anyway, it's just like the Michael Jackson thing. You know, as soon as he died, everybody talked about how great he was and all this crap, and all his weird bullshit that everyone talked about while he was alive got swept under the rug. And it's just like, it doesn't make any sense. Like, treat people the way you did when they were alive. Like, them dying doesn't automatically make them a great person. And I just, it really fucking bothers me about our culture. We do it all the time. And I'm sure even in your personal lives, you know, our listeners, that you've known people that have died, I know Goggs and I have, that weren't great people, but as soon as they die, it's like, they're fucking awesome. And it's just like, no, they weren't. Yeah. Like, you kind of look through their lives with rose-colored glasses when they pass away. It's just, it doesn't make sense to me. I don't know.
You know how they say don't speak ill of the dead?
Okay, right.
Fine. Don't speak ill of the dead. But at the same time, let's not bullshit about them.
Like, yeah, don't make
up. Maybe just go with the, if you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all kind of idea. Because there's been plenty of jerk-offs that have passed. And I'm like, and people speak about them like they're fucking great. And I'm like, I don't get where you're coming with this. Because they are... You're talking about an awful, awful person that I
totally
hate.
I totally agree. I totally agree. But, Goggs, I have some good news. I have some exciting news.
I love
Drew
this.
Terror has joined the chat. It
that
is now 9:02 p.m. on the Eastern Coast.
The time flies, does it not?
It really does. We really do fly along with this show. Like, we tear through this show.
We rape this show.
Without any further ado, I guess it's time for my tragic story. Well, it's not tragic. Doesn't it to be a tragedy, something has to die, right?
No. Anything can be a tragedy.
I'm pretty sure
I dropped a slice of pizza on the ground once when I was drunk. That's a goddamn tragedy.
I'll have to look it up, but I'm fairly sure that a tragedy means someone has to die. But maybe my dignity died. How about that? Well, I never really had any dignity. Mm. All right. Mm. Well, are you ready, Goggs? Are you ready, guys? Wait a second. Jude Terror is actually on the call. Maybe I should introduce him before I get started. Jude, are you there, sir?
I'm an ass man.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm an ass man.
So funny.
Farrah Fawcett meant nothing to the world, motherfucker. They barely even talk about that white bitch. If she wouldn't have gotten buck-fucked so many times, she wouldn't have anal cancer. That stupid honky bitch didn't inspire or influence anyone, LOL. They swept her death under the carpet due to MJ's death. She was nothing more than a whore. Fuck her.
And that is an actual quote from the that Michael Jackson video that I made. That's one of the comments... You gotta check it out. Anybody that hasn't seen it or read the thread that came
in
that video, dude, it's so funny. You gotta read it. You gotta watch the video. Like I said, I think it's some of my finest work. But thank you, Jude. That was perfect. How you doing today?
You know what it is. You inspire hatred with your hatred.
I know, right? Hate begets more hate. Is what I'm trying to do.
CNN
for.
Went over the celebrity deaths of 2009. Carl Malden didn't even get a nod.
Who's Carl Malden?
He was opposite of Brando in a lot of stuff, like A Streetcar Named Desire and On the Riverfront,
okay.
or On the
yeah,
Waterfront.
I know who Carl Malden is. Okay.
Pretty
yeah.
good actor. Old school.
Yeah, good
actor.
Just old
school
actors. Nobody cared about him. Second banana.
Good thing Brittany Murphy got this in right before the end of the year, otherwise she wouldn't have been recognized in the deaths of 2009.
True. But
what do you guys
dude.
Think on that? Drugs? Did you talk about that already? Was it drugs or was it anorexia?
We're actually going to talk about that a bit later. So as soon as we get
Excellent.
Done my story, we do have it planned. So we will talk about that. But yeah, you have that to look forward to. But yeah, Jude, are you ready for this heart-wrenching tale?
I've been waiting for it all day.
That really makes me feel good.
You think I'm joking, but I was eating dinner today at the dinner table, and Amy's like, what are we doing tonight? I'm like, listening to Altobo's podcast.
And take note, listeners, that's the way you all should be. That's why I waited for Jude. I actually waited to tell the story because he told me he couldn't wait to hear it. So this is why I cater to my fans, or fan. But yeah, last week we had a caller call in the already legendary B. Wood, W-O-O-O-O-D, and we had a long discussion about Craigslist. And we talked about Craigslist's adult services, quote unquote. And we also talked about what's it called, Gog's intimate encounters section or something?
I think it's casual encounters.
Anyway, all that discussion, and I even mentioned it on the air that I thought it'd be a great idea just for the show to try it out. Like, why not? If any of you know me or just get the attitude from the show, there's no bullshit in what I tell you people. I'm like this in my real life, and I have a real devil-may-care attitude. I feel that something that goes badly is almost more fun to talk about than a story that goes well. I think that negative experiences are, you learn a lot more from bad experiences than you do from good experiences. But so anyway, all our talk about this Craigslist thing, it got me really fascinated. And actually that night I logged right on to Craigslist. I could not wait to just see what he was talking about. Like, see if I could kind of, if my bullshit gauge was going to go off or whatever.
Taste the magic.
Yeah. I mean, why not? Right. So I looked it over, and I actually went to the adult services, quote-unquote, first, and I just looked at some of the pictures, and I noticed a couple of things. I noticed that a lot of the ads repeat, like, from day to day, because Craigslist breaks it up from day to day, and a lot of ads repeat, and all the girls, for the most part, except for the black ones, all the girls are pretty smoking. Like, if those pictures are real, then those girls are pretty damn hot. Even the ones that don't quite, like, there's a lot of them that are just kind of like body shots. I guess they don't want to have their face out on the internet that they're hookers. They're pretty hot. And I kind of went through the whole week and thinking about it. And if anybody knows, again, I hate to keep going back to this, but I guess I should just say that I'm the kind of person that obsesses over things. Like, if there's something that I want, I'll go like to great lengths to get it, and it'll drive me fucking crazy. And it could be the most like fucking bullshit thing, but I will go nuts until I have it. This whole week, like Monday through, I guess it was Thursday, I was just thinking about this. Like, what if this is like legitimate? Like, what if this is real? Like, what do I really have to lose? And I work for a plumbing company, and let's just say that, they have some employees there that are less than honorable citizens, I should say. And I've heard them kind of talking about, you know, them getting the Craigslist girls before. So I talked to a few of them about it. I was like, so what do you do? You know, what is it like? Like, how does it work out? And they all had stories. You know, a few of them had stories. They're talking about how, like, what you should spend and what you should look out for and how it all goes down and da-da-da-da-da. And I guess the long and the short of the whole thing is that it actually gave me kind of this feeling of like, well, it seems legitimate. You know what I mean? Like, it seems like a real thing. And one guy in particular was very vocal about it and had all kinds of stories and showed me pictures and all this stuff, like of the girls that he had gotten or whatever. And anyway, it made me feel like, well, maybe this is kind of a legit thing. Again, it gave me, it gave the whole kind of mystery of this whole process a little bit of validity, a little bit of groundedness. So I guess it was Thursday came around. I think it was Thursday. And, of course, I'm sitting at my computer, and, you know, I got, I'm well under my budget for this month. I did pretty well for myself. And I was like, fuck it, I got a little bit of extra money. And I just happened to be going through the adult services thing, and there's this one girl that I thought was fucking a knockout. And I'm like, whatever. You know what I mean? Like, just might as well just friggin' go for it, you know? You know, why not? And for those of you that are in the chat, I will actually paste the link to the girl that I called.
Oh, now I got to sign into the chat.
Yep. And so I've never done this before, and I thought, you know, I was like, why not? I got to give this a shot. I got to, you know, shit or get off the pot, you know, in so many words. I had to do this just to find out for myself. If it went bad, okay. If it went great, then that's even better. You know what I mean? So I call her up, and I get through to her, and I ask for her name, and I forget what her name was, like Kaylin or something like that, something stupid. Anyway, I get the she picks up the phone. I ask for her name. She's like, or some woman's like, oh, she's not here, but let me get your number, and she'll call you back. So seems like something they're just trying to cover all their bases, I guess. So I'm like, all right, I give her my number. I call me back. Or she calls me back. Not sure if it's the same woman that answered the phone the first time. Didn't really get that good of a impression of her voice. But anyway, the girl that's supposedly in the picture calls me back. And she's like, so how much time do you want? And she said it was like $200. I said just like an hour. And she's like that. Or I think I said, well, what do you offer? And she's like, well, an hour's our minimum. So I was like, all right, fine, an hour's fine. And she said it's like $200 an hour. I'm like, all right, that sounds fine or whatever. And then she's like, well, are you at a hotel or at a house? And I'm like, I'm at my house. And again, another insanely dangerous move for me. There's no way I ever should have invited her to the house. But I will spoil the story and say that this doesn't end in me getting robbed. But it could have. But again, that's just me rolling the dice. It's very exciting. So anyway, she's like, cool, I'll be there in like an hour and whatever. So I got to say that like in between the time where I kind of brokered this deal and the time when she came over, I mean,
like
I'm all fucking
Gordon Gekko.
I'm all fucking nerves, man. Like I'm fucking, like I am so goddamn nervous because like it not only like, again, I don't know what's going to happen. First of all, the smallest of all my problems is I don't know if the girl that's in that picture is going to show up at my door. That's number one. That's the smallest problem that's on my plate. The second problem is someone going to show up with, like, you know, a fucking shotgun and just, like, rob my house and kill me? You know what I mean? And those two just flew around my head. And third, you know, I don't have any problem with, like, performance. I really don't. Like, I think I get too many boners at this point in my life, but, like, the nerves in you, you're so freaking apprehensive and, like, you don't know what's going on. Like, I'm just trying to calm myself down. So I take a shower, calm down, like, watching It's Always Sunny, like I always do, and I'm just trying to wait for her. And anyway, time goes by. She finally shows up. Cute girl. Doesn't exactly look like she did in the picture. But she looks close enough. I honestly, it's funny. Honestly, yeah, exactly. Still good looking. Still close, like close enough where it could have just been a very good picture of her, I guess is what I should say. About 5'5", kind of thick, cute face, like an Italian looking girl, shows up at the door, and you know,
was this
she
a picture
like,
you got?
What's that? Say that
now,
again,
Gox? Did she match the picture you had received?
Did you just not hear what I said? No, she looked sort of, I mean, she looked, it's hard to say. Like, she looked close to that, but it didn't look exactly like her. So it was close enough where that picture could have just been an exceptionally good picture of her. You know what I mean?
Gotcha.
But she was cute. She was definitely cute. Nothing I would chase away. Definitely a cute girl. So when I saw that, I was like, all right, this isn't too bad. And, you know, the first thing that was kind of weird about the whole situation was, like, so she comes in, she, like, you know, she's like, hey, how you doing, da-da-da-da-da. And,
she's like, she calls, she sits down and she calls somebody, and I was like, oh, okay. And she calls, like, this person. She's like, well, I'm here and I'm okay. So I guess she's, like, checking in with whoever, right? So then she's like,
they're called a pimp.
Right, right. Well, then she's like, I need your license. And I'm like, why the fuck do you need my license? And she's like, no, you can stand here. I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to verify your address and stuff with my dispatch. And that made me laugh my ass off because I was like, dispatch. But she did. I was standing right there. All she did was go through my name and my address, which anyone could find on fucking Facebook or anything. She didn't give out my driver's license number or anything. So automatically, I was like, well, that's kind of weird. And this is the good part. This is the part that has kept me up for a little while. So after that, she, like, sits down, and she's like, so what do you want to do? And I'm like, you know, I don't know. What do you usually do? And she's like, well, she's like, guys usually have some plans. Like, we usually go out or something. And I'm like, okay, like, where are we going to go in an hour? And she's like, I don't know, like, I usually go to, like, dinners and stuff. And I, like, looked at her, and I was like, well, and I honestly, guys, like, I apologize for the lack of detail. But all I remember, and again, this is kind of something that I should have remembered more vividly. I remember asking something along the lines of, well, you know, is sex on the table? You know, something like that. And again, first timer, you know. And this is going to get into the later part of the story. And she looks at me like kind of shocked, and she's like, well, no, it's not. And I was like, well, I told Goggs, I remember my exact reaction to her saying that. I looked at her and I kind of turned my head like kind of crooked, and I go, really? She's like, yeah. She's like, no, like I usually just take like older guys out to like dinners and shit. And I was like, and I looked at her again. I was like, really? Like, really? Who pays for that? And she's like, no, like, we're, like, totally legit, like, it's not like that at all. And I'm like, well, am I the, you know, I can't be the first person to do this. And she's like, no, it happens all the time. And then, like, we're talking, and she's like, she's like, do you want me to leave? And I was like, well, kind of. But then she's like, look, you obviously didn't know what you're getting into, so I'll give you $100 back. So this cost me $100. Now, Goggs had pointed this out in the car. Why didn't I just say, give me my fucking money back and get the fuck out of my house? It's easier said than done. God only knows what would happen. You know, it's already a shady enough situation that I'm in at the moment. And if I friggin' tried to take this girl, the money that I've already given this girl, and kicked her out of my house, God only knows what could have happened to me, since they already know where I live and all this other nonsense. So, yeah, I wasn't comfortable with kicking her out of the house. But she's like, why don't I just hang out here and, you know, we can like watch something, and I'll just hang out here for a little while. And then if you want, I can leave. So this kind of signals to me like, all right, well, maybe like, you know, maybe that I said something a little too forward, you know, maybe I should have sugarcoated it a little bit. You know what I mean? I shouldn't have said flat out, you know, sex. So it turns out this girl is like a big It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia fan. So we go up to my room. And we watch It's Always Sunny, and, like, we talk a little bit. And the weird thing about the whole situation is that she seemed really genuine. And I pride myself on my lie detection skills, and she seemed really honest. And not only that, but she wasn't just bullshitting me about being an It's Always Sunny fan. She was, like, quoting everything. So, again, the question came up on the car ride over where I explained this to Goggs and another friend of mine. It's like, well, why did you hang out with her? Well, again, I kind of thought, well, maybe, you know, maybe her, like, we're watching this, maybe something will kind of develop from here. I didn't really know. But the long and the short of it is that nothing really happened, and then she's like, all right, well, I'm going to go, and she left. So I basically paid $100 for nothing. Now, the embarrassing part of the story is obviously I feel as if I got not only gypped, but I got rejected by a hooker. In my mind, what I perceive is that she came over with all intentions of doing whatever, and I freaked her out, and she got uncomfortable with it, and threw up the warning, you know, the caution flag, and decided to abort the situation. And because she still kind of felt bad because I'm a weird freak, she gave me some of my money back. But that's what I kind of felt like I got totally rejected by a hooker, and I got real depressed insanely fast. I mean, the outhouse, we always talk about how I get laid all the time, and, you know, I have my moments, I do, but to say that I don't have a problem with my self-esteem is a lie. I do have a huge problem with my self-esteem and my self-image. So, like, something like this just drove me, like, crazy. And it's also the financial problem that I lost money, you know, for nothing. Now, I have to kind of look at this with my logical side of my brain and say, well, you know, realistically, that $100 is gone no matter what. And luckily, I was already planning on spending two, and I got $100 back, so it's not that bad. But even still, I feel like I've wasted my money, and again, I've been rejected by someone that literally gets paid to probably blow old guys all day long, and it kind of hurt. So that, in a nutshell, is the story, but I'm going to open it up to Goggs and give his insight on what he thought of the situation, because he had a slightly different opinion of what could have happened that wasn't my perception. I guess that's the best way I'll put it. So, Goggs, what was your feeling when I told you this story? Because you didn't feel that she necessarily rejected me as harshly as
no.
I perceived it. Go ahead.
My thoughts are one of the following. She is either just a legitimate, like, quote-unquote legitimate escort service, where that's all they do. And that's long and short of it.
So you buy
kind of
her story about her just going out to dinners and stuff.
Yeah, there's that potential. But I mean, because that is a real thing. People do that. That's true. And then there's the other option, which is that you did not spend enough money to get to the premium content, as we say in the video game world.
See,
so
that's a good point. Well, I'm gonna answer both of those things with my retort, if I could.
Please.
The legitimate escort service thing, it makes sense, and I agree with you, but in a certain way. But at the same time, when we negotiated this deal, because you got to understand that we did this, you know, we talked about what we were going to do, I mean, in vague terms, obviously, before she ever came over. How the hell are you going to go out to dinner in an hour? Like, what can you really do in an hour? You know what I mean?
Well,
like, it's...
Oh, I know. And then there's the other issue I brought up, which was... potentially that she might be, you know, a prostitute, but she might have thought that this was a set. Like, I mean, it's a shady business. There's trust that needs to be established.
Right.
And you very well could, this could have been a sting for her.
Right.
And there might have been a who knows? This might be sort of a situation where you have to go out on a couple of these dates before something really gets on the table. So
lose all my money.
Yeah, like you have to treat like a real relationship, like three dates before you get
yeah, right. And the other thing about the spending money, see, that's the part I sort of agree with. Now, the only thing is, again, you know, it was brought up like what the money was before she ever got there, but you're saying that, I think Vinny said it, is that, you know, when she got in, she asked me for the $200 and I handed it to her. But Vinny's saying, like, if I had a big, like, billfold, that maybe things would be different, or, you know what I mean? Like, maybe if, again, this was at my house, so maybe, you know, I don't live in a giant, luxurious house. Like, maybe she kind of got a vibe from the place that I didn't really have any money. That does make sense to me in a certain respect. It does.
What?
But I cannot lie. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I mean, honestly, and you'd sat there and, you know, started... saying, you know, when she initially said no, you'd been like, you know, what does my friend Mr. Franklin make you think now? I mean, there's a very good, I mean, odds
right.
are, and she probably has some sort of price. She just didn't pay the high enough price. Like, you just don't, you gotta understand
is,
the
though,
game works.
Now, here's the thing. I don't understand. And your whole Sting opinion could play into this. But let's just say that the whole pricing tier thing is in question. There's no way you can kind of subtly hint that you're kind of looking for more money. Like, I'm not saying spell it out, but, you know, you can't friggin'
nudge.
Well,
what was your immediate reaction to you bringing up the topic?
Seemed shocked. Seemed shocked that I would bring it up.
What was her
and again,
what was her shocked? She seemed shocked.
She definitely, and again, Now, I've been duped before by women, God knows, but I am very good. I'm almost daredevil levels of detecting when people are lying to me. She definitely seemed shocked that I brought it up. Like it was like she immediately was like, no, like, that's not what we do. And, like, you know, her face kind of lit up when I asked. So.
Okay, so she didn't say something like, not typically, or.
No,
or she didn't seem
kind
of nonchalant in her rejection.
No, it was like couldn't believe I said it type of shock, in my opinion.
Well, then that makes me think more along the line of legitimate escort service, honestly.
But why would you? But see,
there's no way. There's no such thing as a legitimate escort service. I'll tell you exactly what happened. Is she got there and she saw that you didn't have confidence in what you were doing. She
right.
could tell that it was your first time doing that sort of thing, and you didn't really know. If
right.
you were
well, wouldn't that
be
make for
the
perfect situation?
Deal.
Oh, so you think she just hustled him?
Yeah, I think that she hustled you. I think that.
Right.
I mean, there's no way with that ad that she's got up there. You know, she negotiated to do something with you for an hour. She asked if you were at a hotel or at your house. I mean, it's pretty
right.
obvious the transaction that was going on.
Right.
I think, you know, she just figured out when she got there that she could hustle you like that.
Right.
Wouldn't
you think she would have milked it for more cash then, Jude, if she wasn't afraid that this was going to turn into a law issue? Because I'm thinking, well, hell yeah, I'm going to lead this guy on to think, well, you know, not for this much, but definitely for this much.
Yeah, but then
what difference
would
that make to her?
Well, that's true.
Well,
then
but
I see what you're saying.
It's all about
guys.
Money if she's a hooker anyway.
That's a good point.
Maybe it wasn't even that she hustled him. It was just that she saw that he didn't have the confidence in it, and it was like a, like she felt bad
but
for him.
Blood
like,
in the
re-
water
maybe she really
people.
Did. It really was a case of her rejecting him. He didn't have
right,
confidence
yeah.
in his.
That's what I feel. That's how I feel what happened.
Why would it, but that's not, but that doesn't make any sense. It'd be one thing if it was a date. It makes no sense if you are, it's your job. This is a job where, I mean, it's assumed that this is, you're in it to make money. And if you've resorted to this being your profession, you're probably in it to make as much money as you can as easy as possible. So you see someone who's not confident in what's going on, and like it's like being a used car salesman. All of a sudden, you can start slapping stuff onto them that they didn't realize they didn't need to pay for in the first place, and you just make bank. I mean, that would be
yeah,
my
you know
philosophy
what?
If I was a hooker.
You know what? Another thing is, as you guys have some listener feedback from Prozac Man in the chat, saying that you should have asked her about if full service was available beforehand on the phone, and there are terms.
Yeah,
that,
yeah.
That
this
you can
is
use.
This is good to
like
know.
You,
I didn't I didn't know this. This is true.
Like you could ask her if she gives French lessons, and that would mean does she you know will she give a blowjob, or does she
right.
give Greek lessons? Obviously, would mean you know, does she do anal. So there's some
obviously.
Terms you should have researched beforehand that you could have spoken in code to her without saying something incriminating. Or,
you know, that's another
thing
that,
could get her in trouble.
That you kind of bring up that I definitely looked into. The internet, as far as I can tell, a lot of people talk about this stuff like in plain terms. And I'm not talking like, and you know, you could sit there and say, well, of course they're not. But with the anonymity of like a chat room or not a chat room but like a message board, you'd think there'd be somebody that'd be like, look, you know what I mean, like this is my experience, this is what happened to me, and da, da, da. You know what I mean, I couldn't find any of that. That's what I was looking for.
Dude,
before
not,
I ever did this
it's not
I'd
even on the internet
honest.
That like I'm getting this stuff from listen when I'm not listening to the Molehole Radio, I listen to the Opie and Anthony show on Sirius
right.
XM Radio, and I'm sure you're familiar with comedian Jim Norton.
I love Jim.
He tells his experiences with Craigslist prostitutes all the time.
Well,
and,
I
that's where I know these terms. Girlfriend experience is another one that the boss base is saying in your chat. So
yeah, I did
I mean,
see
the
that.
The info's out there.
Yeah, I guess you know, but I mean you know that I actually agree with Jude. I think that's exactly what happened, and the kind of personality that I have, it like destroys me. Like I can't sugarcoat it. It really fucks me up that like, cause anything negative that happens in my life, whether it is within my control or out of my control or anything, I take the blame. I always do. It's a horrible quality to have but I take personal responsibility for, like, anything that goes wrong. Now, in this particular case, it very well could be at fault, that it could be my fault that I didn't get what I want. So it fucking kills me. It destroys me inside that thinking that if I handled the situation differently, that things would have become more
transparent
on my end, that I could have gotten what I wanted. And then all this self-doubt and horribleness that I feel would have been alleviated and gone. That destroys me. Now, I know that that's a common trait for a lot of people, that, you know, if you could go back and change something, you would. But you have to understand that I am neurotic. I overanalyze everything that I do. Everything. You can't understand how my mind works. Every, like, interaction that I have with people, there's always this, well, if I did something differently, I could fix it. And I try like hell to think on my feet and be a guy that doesn't second-guess himself. And I don't. I have a lot of confidence when I speak to people. But when shit like this happens, it fucking ruins me for weeks until something, you know, until the ebb and flow of life hits me and something positive happens. And then I forget about it. Now, something like this, I chalk it up to experience. I go, you know what? Fuck it. It happened. It's over. You know, now y'all know about it. Made a good story. And now, hopefully, I'm a little wiser. And if I do it again, you know, it's like I told Goggs. You know, the thing is, I should probably do this 3 or 4 more times. And if it works, then great. And if it doesn't, then they're all hoax. That's all a scam. Then maybe I am just the worst person ever. I don't know. The problem is, I don't have the money to do this 3 or 4 times. And I certainly don't have the kind of money to just be like, fuck it, I don't care. Like, I can't, throwing away, like, I mean, I make a decent living, but throwing away 100, 200 bucks, you know, it's still a decent amount of money to me. And so it's a tough thing to do. Like, I guess that I'm going to give it up for now, but I can't say I won't try it again in the future and see what happens. But what were you saying, Goggs? I'm sorry.
I still think that you're opinion of what happened is incorrect.
Well,
it just doesn't make sense to me for that to have been what happened.
I mean, I see your point, but couldn't it be a mixture of the two? Like, couldn't it be a mixture of her detecting that I wasn't confident in myself, and then
right
not well, liking me either,
not
like not really, like not liking myself, or excuse me,
I
not
don't
being
want
confident.
To sound like a.
But here, hold
I don't
on,
want to
hold
sound
on.
Like a jerk
let
off,
me finish.
She's not paid to like you.
Let me finish.
Okay.
She sees that I'm not confident in myself, right? That I don't know what's going on or whatever, and I'm not down with the transaction to talk like the blacks, you know? I don't really know the score, right?
You know what I'm saying?
And she also detects that I really don't have any money, because I still think that the money aspect is there. You know what I mean?
Oh, I wouldn't doubt. Now I agree with that.
And she goes to my house and she sees that I clearly don't have like a ton of fucking money. So like she sees the two things and she's like, well, this isn't going anywhere. So then that's when she decides to bail. You know what I mean? Like, I can see that. I could definitely see that. And that's why, and you know, maybe it wasn't because she wasn't freaked out by me, but there's definitely some situations around it where I could see it. You know, it's not one exact thing, but maybe it was a combination of several, you know. But
I don't know.
But Chubbles, some listener feedback, Chubbles in the chat says, give it another shot. Well, Chubbles, maybe if you could get together a fund on the outhouse, if everybody donates like, you know, 10, 15 bucks, then sooner or later I'll have another 200 and we'll see how it goes.
You know what would be a good experiment for this?
Go ahead.
Putting together some cash and calling, having someone different call on the same person.
I wish I could. Yeah, but yeah, that's not bad at all. The problem is that all you bastards, and I mean all my immediate friends, are all married or have significant others. So I have to do it with somebody.
I know, but I'm trying to think.
I'd have to do it with somebody I trust. So
yeah,
I don't know. And I know that both of us have a mutual friend that's single, but he's such a fucking sad sack. There's no way that he's gonna exude the confidence that I didn't have. Oh, take that, buddy. He's not listening. So, but Gogs, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But,
But just for the purposes of an experiment.
No, you're right.
That person,
well, what do you do?
The person wouldn't even have to have go all the way through with the act.
Oh, I disagree. You have to, because otherwise, how are you going to know?
If all of a sudden she starts taking her gear off, and then she's like, let's get down, then whoever it is, you know, doesn't necessarily be like, okay, never mind. Here's your money. This was just an experiment. Appreciate it. No need to
all
go
right.
any further.
It's true.
Not volunteering for the task, but we could probably get someone with, you know, who wouldn't mind.
I don't know who we'd get, but we'll think about that. The second PS to this whole story is we also talked about Craigslist and that casual encounters thing. And after this whole prostitution debacle, I was pretty upset. And I thought to myself, why not? I'll just fucking message like a whole shitload of these friggin' casual encounters things. I mean, what do I got to lose? Who gives a shit? You know what I mean? And again, I was already in a really pissy mood, so I just did it. Now, I got to tell you, and I don't know if it's like this around the country, but I messaged about, I don't know, I'm going to spitball and say I messaged about 13, 14 people. I got about 10 responses, and all of them are scams. Every single one of them. They all just want you to sign up for this website or that website. So they're all just advertising hoaxes for these different adult websites that claim, because I saw the links as soon in the email, and I already knew that they were scams, but I played along with one of them, and I went in, and I looked at it, and of course, it's gotten giant print. It says it's an age verification website, which is bullshit, but it says in giant print that they're not going to charge your credit card. Now, of course, I didn't give them my credit card, but it says in giant print they will not charge your credit card, but if you go down to the bottom of the page and you read the fine print, you find out that as soon as you give them your credit card information, that this enters you into several adult video websites. It gives you a 2-day trial. Now, and if you don't cancel this trial within the 2-day period, then your credit card will be billed like $45 and yada, yada, yada. So again, out of the 13 or so or whatever it was, people that I messaged on these casual encounter things on Craigslist, almost all of them turned out to be like this. So they're all just hoaxes. For adult websites to get, you know, your $50. So I'm sure it adds up, you know what I mean? Because a lot of these girls are pretty cute when the grift is that they send you a picture with the first response, and almost all of them are pretty attractive. One was not attractive at all, and I thought that one actually was the real one because she was such a pig. But nope, it was all to these age verification websites that were just fronts for porno websites. So, again, I'm not saying that every state and every profile is like this, but I'm saying that from my experience, the casual encounters Craigslist thing is teeming with scams. So I haven't gotten any kind of real feedback from any of those. So no rejection from them yet. So there you go. That was the story. I hope you all enjoyed it. I'm sure... this is just one of those to-be-continued kind of stories, because I'm sure that my obsession with prostitution on the internet will not die down. It'll only be delayed, because I know how I am. So now that I've had one bad experience, maybe I can use that as a basis for jumping onto the next experience. But I hope you guys
like
it.
A government grant for this kind of research.
I need one, yeah. But I hope you guys enjoyed it. I hope it lived up to all the hype that I gave it. But I hope that you do appreciate that I really felt that to give it the weight that it needed, it was worth waiting for to tell it in my own words and not on theouthousers.com. But I guarantee that there will be discussion about this on theouthousers.com probably immediately after this show has ended. Over at the old evil place, that we all used to post at, I posted a thread a long time ago about how I was dating a girl that had herpes, and people still joke about that and say that I have herpes. I don't, but that's the kind of honesty that you're only going to get from El Topo. I I really do feel like my life's an open book, and I don't just say that. I'll tell you everything that's cool that's ever happened to me, and I'll also tell you all the horrible shit that that has happened to me, because I think that's the only way to seem balanced. I oftentimes think it's funny that my internet persona, people say that I'm, like, arrogant, and I'm overconfident, and this and that, and I'm kind of a jerk. And I do think that I'm kind of a jerk, but I don't think that I'm overconfident in the slightest. I'm not trying to ever put myself over by saying that I'm too cool for the internet. In fact, I think that I've proven with this story that I'm probably the least cool person on the internet, because I can't even pay for sex these days. But anyway,
if I was an internet prostitute, I would have slept with you, buddy.
Thanks, Gox. But anyway, that is a story, and I'll tease you with this, and this is a more longer developing story, but this is a teaser for possibly next year. I may be getting involved with something that I feel is morally questionable, but that's just a teaser. It's that is something that is slowly developing in my personal life. So more on that, tune in to future episodes of the Molehole Radio, because I'm sure I will tell you all about them if what I think is going to happen is going to happen. And Gogs, don't text me after the show. I'll tell you what I'm talking about after the show if you want to know. But it's nothing bad.
You got it.
It's nothing bad. It's I'll tease it this way. I'll tease it. It's a girl that I may or may not shouldn't harm what I maybe shouldn't be getting involved with said girl. But again, we'll get into it later. Not what I'm paying for either, by the way. But we'll talk about it later. But anyway.
Preview Madu.
Judy's still on the line. Did that story, did you like it? Did you hate it? Was it all you hoped for? I guess Jude's not there anymore. Anyway, let's move on. Because I'm sure Jude will chime in later. Oh, God. All that beer. Gogs, this is our Christmas episode. And I'm really excited about it. In fact, you could say, or, you know, I'm going to let Charlie say how I feel. Charlie Kelly from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
I got the load. I got the load. I got the good load. It's going down on me. Down on me. I got the load. I got the good load. It's going down on me.
It's going down on you.
Yes, the good Lord is going down on me. It
going
is Christmas.
Down.
It is the birth of Jesus, motherfuckers. You better bring your frankincense, your myrrh, and what was the other thing? Gold?
Gold.
Well, no wonder is that why Jews love gold? Because the three kings brought gold? What the hell is myrrh?
Yeah, you know, he's the king of it. Myrrh is, myrrh is like a sweet perfume. No, wait.
Oh.
What is myrrh?
Well, I don't know. Frankincense is like
incense.
Incense, right?
Myrrh is. I don't know. I'll Google it. I should know. I'm Catholic.
Yeah, it's our Christmas episode, and I didn't want to bog down the entire show with this, but I feel like we should talk about it slightly. I wanted to talk about Gogs and I's opinion on Christmas, maybe some holiday stories, because it's our Christmas episode. And I'd like to start by saying that, and I talked about this briefly over at the on the Outhousers podcast, which you can check out on Sundays at 7 o'clock. And if you don't know the link, definitely check out the outhousers.com. And there's a link in there every week to the show. It's a great show. In spite of John Solwyn, who tries his darndest. The guy, you know, he tries to run a tight ship, but I just ruin his show for him. I don't mean to. But anyway, I have to start by saying that I absolutely hate Christmas. I really, really do. And I know, like, I'm Mr., like, Johnny Hates Religion. Like, I know that everybody's probably tired of my fucking ultra-agnostic shtick. But God damn it, Christmas is so fucking annoying. And it brings out, you know, it's supposed to be, in theory, Christmas is a lot like communism. It works in theory, but it never works in execution. Christmas, if you watch, like, fucking Peanuts, if you watch Charlie Brown, Christmas tells you that it's supposed to bring out, like, the greatest things in people. It's supposed to bring out love And you're not only supposed to love, like, your family and your friends, it's supposed to be a time where... Yeah, it's supposed to be a time where you love everybody, you know what I mean? It brings out good feelings in you. Just, I don't know why, but it's supposed to bring out good feelings in you. Yeah, it's good stuff. Good stuff. But, yeah, it's supposed to do that. But what does it really do? It brings out what Goggs is talking about, people that don't know how to fucking drive, people that are pushing each other over in fucking grocery stores and shopping malls to get fucking
greedy
product
children
that you don't want. It gets, you know, the thing that bothers me the most, that really, really pisses me off, it's the gift aspect. Now, I know that I love to receive presents. Who doesn't? But honestly, the problem with
you're
fucking...
You're also quite generous with giving them.
I was about to get to that. But yes, okay, the problem is that I feel that it's gotten so far away from what it is. You know, you feel obligated to buy people presents. You know, I don't talk to you should only give people presents if you truly feel, you know, like you should. Like I give Goggs gifts every year. Goggs is one of my best friends. And, you know, he's close to me, and I've known him for a long time. So you know what? I give him a little something every year because I feel that I should. I don't feel that I have to. There's no obligation to do it, but I feel like I should, and I give him a little something. And, you know, a lot of times, like, not Goggs, but, like, a lot of times I'll give people something, and they'll the first thing they'll say is that, man, I didn't get you anything. And you know what? That they don't need to. That's not the point. Like, it's the whole thing with Christmas has become, well, if you get somebody something, or if, like, you get, like, a family member something, like, you have to give them this, like, perfect gift for them. And you have to spend this amount of money to make sure that you get them a good gift, depending on how much you make. And if you don't, they'll bitch about it. It's totally bullshit. Like, if you give somebody a present, they shouldn't be obligated to give you a present back. That's not what it's about. Like, if I give Goggs a present, it's because I think he's a good guy, and I personally felt that you know what, maybe I'll give him a little something at the end of the year because you know what, it's a gesture from me. It shouldn't be this obligation where it's like, oh shit, he got me something, I need to give him something back. That's not the way it should work. Now, if Goggs wants to give me a present because like he, you know, he feels the same way that I do, that's great. But it's not this like fucking competition, because that's what it is with like. A lot of, like, family crap. I know that for a fact. Because, like, and everyone's guilty of this. Everybody that says that I'm fucking evil for saying this shit, everybody's guilty of this. You go out to, like, your family fucking get-togethers where you don't see your fucking family ever. You see them, like, twice a year. You see them at Thanksgiving, and you see them at fucking Christmas. And your one fucking uncle, who's, like, a fucking oil tycoon, decides to buy you a fucking, you know, a book. And you're like, well, he only bought me a book. Well, you know what? Like, what's the difference? Like, he bought you something. Shouldn't that mean anything? Like, I make okay money. But, like, I know for a fact that my sister actually bitched to my mom last year that, like, I didn't give her, like, enough money. Like, I gave her a gift card. I gave her, like, an Amazon gift card. It was, like, $50. And she's like, that's... And my mom, of course, my mom's not supposed to tell me that she talks to her about this stuff. But my mom is, she sells a lot of things. She's like, my mom apparently said that my sister told her that she was upset that I got my little brother a $60 video game and I only got her a $50 gift card. It's like, are you effing kidding me? Like, that's what you're going to bitch about? Like, I'm so,
that's
the
ridiculous.
Holiday, I mean, just from that standpoint, the holiday drives me crazy. It also, I hate it that, like, Christmas is like a national holiday, even though, like, not everyone's Christian. Like, that always has bothered me, and I don't get it. And I know, like, people, like, it's funny because, like, you know, the Christian family is under attack and everything because they're trying to take Christmas away from the country. I always hear that, but every time I go outside, I see nothing but Christmas decorations and Christmas trees. I don't know where they're living, but Christmas is still everywhere. But, you know, maybe they should take fucking Christmas away from, like, the country. Like, if you want to celebrate Christmas, great. But, like, why does some fucking Muslim guy have to be, like, Christmas shoved in his fucking face? It doesn't mean anything to him. Like, I don't know. Christians have this notion that, like, they're right and everyone's a fucking idiot. And this, like the whole Christmas thing just proves it to a point. Because they're just like, oh, you know, Christmas is awesome. Like, everybody loves Christmas. It's the greatest time of the year. It's like, fuck you. It's fucking December. It's cold. I don't want to have anything to do with this fucking holiday. I have to go see my stupid family that I never see, that I fucking despise.
And, you know, fuck it. I hate it. And, you know, Goggs, you talk a lot about how you love tradition. You've talked about it before, about Thanksgiving, about Halloween. Like, you love, like, the pageantry, the tradition. But, like, there's only, like, family tradition, I think, nowadays. But it's almost like it's forced in a way. You know what I mean? There's nothing organic about the traditions of Christmas. It bothers me.
There's definitely the feeling that... There's definitely kind of a forced, like, feeling of this is what we do. That we're doing this because this is what we do. Not we're doing this because this is what we like to do sometimes. But, I mean, I don't know. I other than having to deal with traffic and people, I like Christmas. I like going out and I'll even deal with going to the malls as long as I got my head mentally right for it. Like, I got to be like...
Right.
I have to go in with the understanding that this is going to take a while, and I'm just going to suck it up. It's when I'm out doing stuff, and I need to, like, you know, when I'm running errands at lunch, and all of a sudden I got to deal with all these other jerk offs.
Right,
that's the pain in the ass. But I mean, I've always, you know, I just have a lot of fond memories of Christmas, maybe some funny ones, but I don't get burned by it so much.
I mean, maybe
I'm a sentimental guy.
Maybe this, yeah, as the boss, Bass, in the chat has said, that you're a warm, nostalgic soul. I definitely agree with that. But maybe this has to do with a polar difference between you and I. You have a very nice family and a pretty decent family life and a good relationship with your family as a whole, I would say.
I think you have a good relationship with my family. You may have a better relationship with my
family
than with your family.
Your family is awesome, and in fact, when I was younger, Goggs' mom used to, like, ask Goggs all the time if I was coming over for dinner. Like, I always felt like I was, like, the refugee child, because your mom would always, like, cook me food, and, like, it was, she's great.
Well, it's
funny,
because whenever she'd ask if Boesky was coming over, she would do the same thing. She'd ask
another
to come
friend
over.
Of ours is Boesky, yes, but...
And instead of just setting a plate, she would set a plate and then double whatever she was cooking.
Yeah, your mom's a brilliant person, but you have a very good relationship with your family. And as you know, I have, like, next to no relationship with my family. I'm very detached from my entire family. I think that I look at my close friends a lot in a lot different light than I think most people do. Like, I look at you, like, you, Goggs, and the what we call the circle. I look at you guys, like, a lot more like family than I do my actual family. Like, you guys mean a lot more to me than my actual family. I don't know why that is. I guess we could go on to that. But that would get in a lot darker and unfun stuff. But maybe that's why I hate Christmas so much. It's a family holiday, and I can't stand my family. Maybe that's where all my anger comes from.
It's a time to be with, you know, kids and kin, as Clark W. Griswold once said.
You got a little digital there. You want to repeat that?
Oh.
Something about Clark Griswold. So.
It's time to be with kith and kin. I don't know what that means, but he said it, and
I
love that man. I still think
one day I have to marry your sister just so I can be in your family, because that would just be amazing.
Welcome to the party.
That would be great.
I'd be fine with that.
I know. It would be amazing. But anyway, so that's our little Christmas chat. We have two more Christmas surprises for you a little later in the show.
Christmas surprise! Everybody loves Christmas surprise!
Goggs, we haven't seen Avatar yet. You and I have not seen Avatar yet.
I haven't seen Avatar yet?
Who was that?
The shit was that?
Hold on, we have somebody on the call. I believe that is Outhouse correspondent, the Prozac Man. Is that you, Prozac?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Prozac,
yes,
you haven't called in. This is your first time calling in, isn't it?
Yep, for your show. I've called
into
Petty's show a couple times, but
that's
this
awesome,
is the first time I've been unmedicated enough to be coherent on a talk show.
Great, man. Thanks for calling in. Prozac Goggs, as you will know. Prozac is a big supporter of the show on the Outhousers. He's always in the thread talking about the show. He's a regular listener. So thanks for calling in, Prozac.
Glad to be here. Awesome show.
Hey, thanks, man. Really do appreciate that.
And available on iTunes.
That's right.
For the Bloodcast.
See, look at
Radio.
This guy is awesome.
I don't see a penny of that money.
He's spot on. Yes,
some of that internet money.
Hey, got the money, that internet money, buddy. How about that internet? Yeah, but Prozac is right. If anyone's not listening, if you want to tell your friends to check out the show and you don't feel like giving them the ultra-long talk show address, you can actually search iTunes for The Molehole Radio or El Topo or Bloodcast, B-L-U-D-C-A-T Radio, and it'll come up, and you can subscribe to it, and it'll go right down to your fancy little iPod or iPod Touch or iPhone. It's great. But thanks for the plug there, Prozac. It's good to have you. And, yeah, we haven't seen Avatar. Now, I apologize. I really do apologize to our listening audience. And Goggs can vouch for this. Goggs and I got together, last week after the show. We were like, we need to see – we'd really like to see the movie before Tuesday so we could talk about
it.
But we could – like, we've been very busy, and the snow yesterday or over the weekend did not help. Goggs and I went to Deep Creek Lake with all our friends. We and our group of friends, again, referred to as the Circle, we have something we like to call the Carroll County Friars Club, and we roasted a friend of ours, and that's what we did all weekend. It was great. But when we got back here on Sunday, there was 2.5 feet of snow to dig out of. So, and, of course, I had the Outhouses podcast to do yesterday. So, but even if I didn't have that, there's no way I was getting out of my parking lot. And, guys, was your street even open? Didn't your wife say that your street was
classic overreaction. Classic. Just like when she's like, that was way too fast, or I didn't feel a thing. Just classic, classic overreaction. It was definitely doable, and I'm quite competent.
Still glad I didn't park at your house, though. That would have been a disaster.
Oh, no, that would have been a fucking nightmare. You wouldn't have found your car.
But
and we've had that packed it would have that packed plowed snow situation.
Ugh, Jesus. But anyway, us doing that over the weekend and then coming home to nothing but snow, we really just didn't have time to see the movie yet. We've been really busy. And honestly,
that's understandable.
I don't know. I really don't know if we're going to have time this weekend because I'm out of town all weekend because I got to go to my stupid mom's house in Ocean City and, you know, with the holiday and everything. Maybe we'll get a chance to see it before the next show, but I'm not promising anything. But I do promise that if we get a chance, we will see it because we want to see it just to talk about it. I don't even know if I'm going to like
it.
In fact, I think I'm going to not like it. I know it's getting a lot of positive reviews, but it just doesn't look like a movie that's going to appeal to me. But like it or hate it, I definitely want to talk about it. I just want to discuss it. And, you know, we'll see.
Without any spoilers. It is a good movie, and it's definitely worth seeing in the theater with the 3D.
Right.
Got to do it with the 3D glasses, because it really is better than the average 3D movie that you see. And plus, also the way Cameron shoots it, he sets it up so he's not like doing the gag thing where he's having stuff come out straight at you so you notice it's all 3D.
Yeah,
it's a three-dimensional film.
Nightmare on Elm Street where like the like chest demons kept like popping out and looking at the crowd and all that bullshit, or like Jaws 3D where everything.
Yep. Oh yes, I saw that in the theater. well, that was kind of fun because they show like the dead hand, like the
dead fish
and the hand floating over the audience. That's the thing, you sit in the back row to get the real effect.
That's what I've been hearing from everybody. I mean, it's generally gotten positive reviews. John Solin, again, the host of the Outhouse show, really enjoyed it and said, echoed your statement, Prozac, that said that, you know, the special effects are, and the more specifically the 3D really do sell the movie, and it's a unique experience. And that alone makes me want to go watch it. And he said to go see it in IMAX, and Goggs and I do have an IMAX theater that's like a stone's throw away from us. So we'll definitely, if we go see it, that's how we're going to go see it. We're going to go see it in IMAX. We're going to pay like the $15 ticket price to go see it.
Well, everyone I've talked to said that it's worth it in 3D, and and while the plot is predictable and cliche, it's done very well, and it's something worth checking out and seeing. And the people that act in it, the actors aren't bad. The plot is serviceable to the effects and what they're trying to draw out. I mean, apparently, it's for what it is, it's it's pretty great. It's just not, you know, it's not a Coen Brothers plot.
Having just seen it, you will see where it's a derivative of other movies like Braveheart, Dances with Wolves. You'll see a little, you know, the fight stuff. You'll definitely see like Lord of the Rings stuff in there. But it's sort of the best combination. It was like Star Wars when it first came out. You could see it was the best combination of everything that had come before it. But that being said, it's good. It's still good, but it's like one that it's worth the money, but you're only probably going to go do it one time. It's not like T2.
That's what girls say about GOGS, too. It's pretty good. Nice. You're only going to do it one time.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's not like T2 or Aliens where it was you wanted to go like the next weekend, you wanted to go see it again. I mean, this is like it's definitely, you know, you got your money's worth, but it's not like it's not going to be a repeat.
Right. All right. Well, that's cool. I mean, I always say, and I know that I'm very, very negative about movies most of the time, but I really do not want to go into a movie and not like it. I don't spend $15 to watch a movie to hate it. I really want to like the movie. So, you know, if I come out of this and I don't like it, I'll be honest with you. And if I do like it, you know, I'll tell you about that too. Just because I've been so hateful about the movie before it came out has nothing to do with how I'm going to feel about it when it comes out. I still stand by the fact that the trailers do not make the movie look very good. Now, whether or not the movie is good, then I'll change my mind I won't change my mind about the trailers being bad, but I'll let you know if it's a good movie.
The trailers don't do it justice, but for the way the story's set up, it's they can't really show you that much in the trailers. They're sort of showing like little bits, and you sort of need the whole context for it.
Right. Well, the thing is, there's been good movies with terrible trailers. I mean, almost every one of the Kevin Smith movies have had terrible trailers. Like, watch the Mallrats trailer and try not to watch it with any preconceived notion about what the movie's about. It's got the worst trailer ever. I remember when Mallrats came out in the theater, and I was, I guess in middle school or high school. I don't remember. But I wasn't really that familiar with Kevin Smith. And I saw the trailer for that, and I'm like, God, that movie looks so fucking retarded. And, you know, of course, years later, you know, I know Kevin Smith. I watched the movie. It's all about comic books, and I thought it was great. But it was totally mismarketed, and, you know, the trailer was terrible for it. So.
Oh, definitely. I had the same experience, and not only that, my sister bought me the Laserdisc, and I had it in my house for, like, 3 months.
Nice.
And then one of my friends got...
Do you serve Thanksgiving on that Laserdisc now?
Do you serve Thanksgiving on that Laserdisc now? That was Gaz's joke, not mine. That was good.
So one of my friends got Clerks on video, going that far back, and I was like, I saw that, and then I popped that in as soon as I got home, and I was like, holy shit, I can't believe I didn't watch this already.
Yeah. I mean, I know exactly how you feel. That was about my experience, too. I think it took me a little while to see Clerks. I obviously didn't see it when it came out originally. And then I kind of caught up with all the Kevin Smith movies, and I really liked them. So, yeah, I mean, sometimes movies, the trailers don't really speak to the film. And like I talked about this on the Outhouser show a little bit, a lot of people don't know this, but the director of the film almost never has anything to do with the trailer. The trailer is given over to a completely different part of the movie experience, for lack of a better term, the production experience, I guess I should say. And they give, a lot of times they don't even give the final cut to these people that make the trailers. They just give them this rough cut, and then they make a trailer from it. So, as far as like the director's kind of like vision for the movie, that's not necessarily represented in the trailer. So I mean, you have an opportunity where you could have like an editor who looks at what he sees and has a different kind of vision for what he sees than what the director wanted you to see. So I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm
seeing that with Kick-Ass.
I think it looks really good. I just watched that Hit Girl trailer, and I was like, holy shit, that looks awesome.
That looks pretty fucking rad.
Oh, yeah, wait till you see the whole scene. Because after Comic-Con, they had the full section of the clip where she wastes the drug dealers.
Oh, yeah?
And
was it good?
It was just awesome.
I mean,
the footage, the effects were unfinished, and it was still just
right.
fucking awesome.
Because those trailers have got me pumped for that movie, because I think it, I don't know, I just watched the Hit Girl trailer, and I think it's so much like the comic, but it also has, I don't know, the comic was like this too, but I was worried that the humor kind of element in the comic, and obviously it's a dark humor,
yep.
I didn't think it would translate well to the screen, but I think, and it might be premature for me to say this, but just watching the Red Band Hit Girl trailer that just came out, that humor is, it almost works better in a movie. Like, I saw that, and I was like, this is, I'm really excited about that movie, and it doesn't come out till April, but
it helps that, that we've read the comics.
Sure,
so
sure.
That's
well,
God gives us the anticipation, but to, you know, people who don't even read comics at all, it was like my friend Tony who saw it, we saw the, not the red, the Green Band trailer before Avatar, and so he was like kind of, it looks a little goofy, and then I like sort of explained it to him, and
Goggs has never read the comic. I mean, he has a little bit of knowledge of the comic just for me, but he's excited for it. He brought it up before I ever talked about it last week.
I think I read the first issue.
Right, but you never got introduced to Hit Girl or any of that stuff. So.
No.
But I don't know. We'll see how it goes. I think the movie. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Back to your original point. I would have edited it completely differently. As far as the trailers went, I mean, I would have kept Hit Girl the big surprise.
Yeah,
you know,
I agree.
Like
I do. I do agree with that. I do agree with that because it was a big shock when she shows up in the comic. It would have been cool to do that, but I don't know. At the same time, if you watch the Red Band trailer, that is a pretty awesome sequence. Like what they show is pretty goddamn awesome. I was like, wow, that is badass. Like she's just fucking shooting people in the head and cutting off legs and stuff. I was like, that's pretty awesome. But
you know what, parent? If we learned anything from South Park, all the parent groups, they're going to be pissed that she says the word cunt.
That's true.
It's not
going right to
be the massive violence, the blood and everything, and her throwing switchblades in the people's faces. No, she said a naughty word.
You're absolutely right. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see the reaction to this movie when it comes out, because, like, she's like, I mean, they do a great job in the trailer to illustrate like how young she is and how innocent she is in that flight, that small scene that she has with Nick Cage. And then to show her like just butchering people. I mean, to be honest, I'm surprised that this is being made at all. Like I thought that you'd get to the part where you know, I got this movie where like this 9-year-old girl or however old she is, 12 years old, she just butchers and murders people. Like, I'd figured that would just be, like, the breaks. You know what I mean? Like, or that this would be a movie that was made outside of America. Because that kind of, that's a touchy subject in American movies, is age in movies. And I'm really surprised this is getting made. I'm sorry. I had, like, three people talked at once. I'm sorry. Jude, you go first.
Yeah, that's got to work in the movie's favor, don't you think? And it's been a while since we've had something controversial that people
could really
get outraged about in this country.
I totally agree. But again, I mean, wouldn't you say that it's pretty shocking that they would do that? Like, I agree with you that it'll work. I think it'll work just to generate hype for the movie. But it's pretty shocking to see that scene that they show in the Red Band trailer in an American production, I'd say.
Well, it's not a studio production,
though. I don't have faith
though.
In these companies to have the balls to do that kind of thing. What's the studio that's producing this?
It wasn't a studio. What happened was they got a private financer to finance the movie. They made the movie and then shopped it around at the studios.
Right.
And Lionsgate finally picked it up.
Well, I mean, it's still getting produced by Lionsgate. I mean, you could have had a situation where nobody picked it up. Again, I mean, That's a pretty bold. I mean, Lionsgate's kind of a fucking. I'm gonna coin a term. They're a shovel movie company. You know how Wii games have shovelware? It's just like fucking garbage games that come out at like $20 a pop. Well, Lionsgate puts out shovel movies. I mean, they put out a lot of shit. But I'd still say it's a pretty bold move. I don't know. I watch a lot of movies. And
well, I think,
I would say the most controversial thing that's come out in America that I can think of, and please, if somebody has something better, please jump in,
would be, like, people seem to get really upset over, like, the Saw movies, and they don't even show anything in those movies. Like, those movies are really tame, in my opinion. But people get worked up about those. Go ahead. I'm sorry, guys.
Was there a lot of outcry with, like, I mean, I know it was kind of a minor release, but with, like, Hard Candy?
Because
that's another time where you had a lot of violent adult material revolving around a particularly young
also dealt with pedophiles. No, but it was a really small release. You're talking like there was selected cities. It didn't have the Kick-Ass is going to have a wide release, so you're talking about more exposure. Hard Candy was a Canadian film that barely got a blip on the radar, really, until it came out on DVD. That's when people really started to catch note of it. Not really.
Zombieland, though, didn't really do much. It didn't get that much of an uproar, and that has the girl from
Little Miss Sunshine.
Little Miss Sunshine.
Yeah, I mean, she's sitting there shooting zombies. I mean, I guess that makes it okay there's zombies.
Yeah, it's a little different.
She's
there's
not
zombies.
Raping them.
It's a little different. It's a little different because there's zombies. Now, if she's shooting... See, I think that when you make... And again, I guess I should say that I personally think that it's retarded that there's these lines anyway. Like, why? It's a fucking movie. You should be able to do almost whatever you want. You know what I mean? It's fantasy. It doesn't hurt anybody. But I think the fact that she was killing zombies and not real people, who cares? Like, it's not that big a deal. But, you know, whatever. But anyway,
I think the violence aspect, I think that kind of after Passion of the Christ, everything, I think violence kind of went out the window as something you could bitch about. Because anytime somebody complains about a violent movie, it's like, oh, well, did you like Passion of the Christ?
Right.
Like the first thing that got popped up. And so
I didn't even think
like,
Passion was that violent, but that's coming from me. Because I'm
scene of the whips, like, ripping up Jesus' back.
Way desensitized. I'm so desensitized. My biggest problem with that movie was the fact that the devil was a gay dude. I was like, wow, that's not even subtle. Like, the devil is an effeminate-looking man. Like, what are they trying... Like, it's not... You don't even have to read between the lines for that one, people. Like, it was pretty bad. And my second favorite part of The Passion, because I will say I saw it opening night, because, believe it or not, in my hatred of all Christianity, Jesus movies have interest me a lot. Like, I think the Last Temptation of Christ is a really good movie. And I don't know, all the hype with The Passion, I bought into it, and I went and saw it, and I was expecting this really gory movie that was, like, realistic and all this crap, like, and it was just so stupid. It was the worst fucking movie. It was terrible. And my favorite part, I just said the gay dude was my favorite part, but my favorite part is that same gay dude. There's a scene where I guess Christ is resurrected or he's about to be resurrected, and they show the gay dude, like, screaming from hell. It's like, wait a minute, I thought this was supposed to be, like, the realistic portrayal of Jesus, but you have, like, the devil. You literally have, like, the Darth Vader, like, no moment, but he's, like, in the pit of hell. It was like, all right, fuck you, Mel Gibson, you asshole. Like, this is stupid. The movie was dumb.
I'm proud to say I've never seen that.
Yeah, don't waste your time.
I saw it on DVD, and I was only kind of half watching. I don't even remember that part.
I did love like the fucking wacky Christian people like passing out while they were watching it and stuff like that, because that just cracks me up. But I also love the fact that it inspired a really good episode of South Park where Cartman became Hitler. I thought that was hysterical. So
yeah.
You know, it did have its moments where it made some good things. But anyway. That's enough movie talk, right? We talked enough about fucking movies. Man, I'm drinking. Go ahead, Gox.
Oh, I have one last one. Did you watch that preview I told you to watch for Frozen?
No, I'm sorry. I fucking didn't have time. I took a nap after I got home from work, and it was just too long a nap, and I barely had time to get everything together. But I will watch it after this is done. You want to tell us what it's about? Or
this is the premise.
Okay.
These kids
and again,
are going
it's called Frozen, right?
That's Frozen.
Okay.
And it's a thriller. It is. Someone said, like, from like Gorefind or some other like horror thriller magazine or something. They said this is going to do for skiing what Jaws did for swimming.
Cool.
And what it is, no, I don't think so. What it is, you've got these three. Just judging by the trailer alone, three, like, 20-somethings that you just can't wait for them to die in the first place. And then they essentially show you the whole movie in the trailer. They're going skiing up in God knows where. They're going for their last run of the night. They're on the middle of the ski lift, and they get it. They, I guess whoever it is running the ski lift doesn't realize they're on it, and they shut it down. So there's three people that's the premise. But no. There's more. They're hanging up there on the ski lift. It's like Sunday night, and I guess this ski, whatever this mountain is, I guess everyone leaves and doesn't come back until the next Friday.
Right.
So it's like 8 p.m. Sunday. Right. They're 60 feet in the air.
They'll be there for a whole week.
For a whole week in the freezing temperatures. And it's like, I guess it's kind of like, what was that one where the people got left out in the middle of the ocean that were scuba diving?
And they got eaten
by sharks.
What was
open
that?
Water.
I didn't see that either.
Open water.
Open water. Sucked. I didn't like that movie.
I mean, I didn't see that either, but I mean, this it seems like that's the whole premise. It's like two guys and this chick. And like, there's like their hands get frozen to the.
So they just sit
the
in a chair the whole movie.
Well, then they start like getting stir crazy. Like they show the girl's hand freezing to like the lap bar, and then she's terrified. And they show a guy trying to climb across, and then one guy finds his fuck it and jumps down. And then here's the best fucking part: they tease a wolf attack. Like wolves start circling below them, waiting for them to come out.
That sounds hilarious.
I
gotta watch
movie
this
just
trailer.
By the Jaws reference you mentioned. I just pictured like a freaking shark fin going down the hill.
Well, the people at the people here's a free plug. The people at Film Drunk put together like a picture of like I don't know how it works. It's like a wolf and a shark like erupting out of like a snowdrift and a skier jumping over it. But go to filmdrunk.com or just Google Frozen. I thought it was a joke, but this is a legitimate. I mean, as far as the subject matter is concerned, it looks like they're tackling it about as well as they possibly could.
Right.
But like, it's like the first few seconds of the first few seconds of the trailer, like you see these jerk off kids, and it like you think come over. Like, there's 30 million skiers in America, or skiers
right.
and snowboarders. Then it cuts again to them having fun, and them like conning their way onto lift tickets or something, and they're like having fun. And then there's over. At any one time, there are 5,000 chairlifts in operation across the country. And then like, there's more guys, and it comes back to like, something was bound to happen eventually. Or like, someone was bound to get forgotten.
I mean, that's like crap that the Wonder Twins have to go and rescue.
That's really bad. Is it shot like a regular movie, Gogs, or is it shot like Blair Witch
oh, I wish
style,
it was
for lack of a better term? Is it like,
I wish it was
oh
handycam. That would have been
I'm
better.
So cold.
That would have been better, honestly. Like, they found the tape in, like, a wolf's gullet, like, 2 weeks later after Sarah Palin shot it from a helicopter. But, no, this is like, a real, legitimate, like, they're filming it like it's, like a movie.
Oh,
like, I can only imagine what the sequels to this will be. It'll be, like,
more Frozen.
There's less
Frozen.
Well, they'll have to find other things that were bound to happen eventually.
There are 30 million fair goers in the United States of America.
Oh, yeah, let's go get some popcorn and some shit.
It'll be like every year at least 20 people are killed by soda machines falling over
right.
on top of them. It was bound to happen eventually.
Get forgotten. Oh, shit, we're on top of the Ferris wheel.
Hey, guys, could you imagine if our DJ character was in the ski lift?
Oh, my God, it's getting mighty cold up here. Hey, my gloves are freezing into the inside of my fingers. I don't know what I'm going
to
do.
I tell you
hey,
what, I was trying to get down the bunny slopes, and all of a sudden I'm suspended up here with you two jerk-offs. Next thing you know, I'm going to die. There's nothing but wolves all around the ground.
You know, they say it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas, but it's actually beginning to look a lot like my deathbed. Back
I have
guys.
Fashioned my ski pole into some sort of kebab. I'm planning on stabbing you and drinking your blood. I need nourishment.
Yeah, we're gonna do that. That's our new thing now. We're just gonna talk like real DJs for the like that. You know what? We might just do our show from like that from now on.
Look, hey guys, we got a little comic book news coming at you. What do you think about that? Got a little Green Lantern Iron Man coming at you. He's got the O-ring comes over there. Iron Man suit. Hey, repulsor blast.
There are over 400 million people in America that use the bathroom. At any one time, there's over 100,000 porta-johns in operation. Someone was bound to get locked in.
Gog stars in Poopy John.
The Reckoning.
It's just gonna be sitting there pantsless reading a magazine for 90 minutes until someone goes, "You still in here?"
Hey. You know what? They should do one like, and I think everyone that's listening can appreciate this. They should have one like, 90,000 people go to the comic book store every week. It was just a matter of time before the fat nerds ate them. you get locked in the comic book store. You get locked in the comic book store with a guy that never wants to stop talking about Marvel UK. You know, he's like, "I really like Death's Head. He was a really great character. I don't know why Marvel didn't bring him up. I don't know why the comic book nerd talks like the DJ, but, you know. Hey, everybody. What about
there's
Dazzler?
Over 300,000 like comic Dazzler? Book fans in America.
Yeah.
In any given day, 70,000 boxes are getting filled. One day, someone was bound to not get their books.
Amazon's revenge.
And that's when we got the paper cut killer.
Yeah, right? You know what, guys? We really need to make these films. I think that they would be a huge success.
These films are... It's funny. We make these jokes, but then you've got the absurdity with which... And let's call it what it was. The Final Destination franchise didn't exactly... wasn't exactly standing on the strongest leg.
No.
But it went from plane crash to avoiding a car wreck... to avoiding a goddamn roller coaster accident.
No,
and I think there was another one. I forget what the last one was.
NASCAR.
What was the last
wreck.
One?
NASCAR.
Was that
wreck.
The last one?
Yes.
Jesus Christ.
And you know how you avoid not dying in a NASCAR wreck? Staying the fuck away from NASCAR like a normal person. Jesus Christ, you hillbillies deserve to die. But, I mean, good Lord. Now, you know what? It was funny. We had this conversation over the weekend about Final Destination somehow. Oh, it's because we were... just because
we were
you guys
definitely avoiding
a little theater of the mind, a little theater of the mind for everybody listening at home. Gogs and I were in our buddy's what's that car? Subaru Outback, or is that
it's
what he's
a
got?
Forester
it's Subaru
is what
he Outback.
Subaru Forester. But anyway, Gogs had about two. What were they? About 6 foot 2x4s in the car that literally went from the windshield to the back of the car. And they were stuck in the thing. Now, those 2x4s were so when he got to our destination, he could construct a cross that he was going to give to our roastee so he could carry it in like, you know, Christ. But we got this Final Destination talk because we literally had these two 2x4s jammed in the car. So if we had an accident, one of those 2x4s was going to skewer somebody in a very horrible way. Probably me, but because I was in the back. So... We got talking about Final Destination, and the only thing we could think about was Final Destination 2 had that really awesome car wreck scene, but no one else could remember anything else about that movie. I don't think anyone's ever watched that whole movie. The car wreck scene is amazing.
I saw it in
where
the theater.
Girl, where they're trying to cut the girl out of the car.
Yeah, and the guy
has like the broken pipe right behind her head.
That's a different
well,
one.
There's part,
and
there's,
they whack the front
no, no,
of
that's
the airbag
end.
Goes off and shoves it in there.
That's the end of that one.
Oh.
That's the very end where she gets a PVC pipe jammed through her brain.
Oh, that sucks.
This is the very beginning. Like, this is the very beginning.
Hey,
scene.
I got a PVC pipe stuck in my brain. These are meant for dray lines. Sorry.
Oh anyway. My God! I saw my own death on the highway, and I've been avoiding it for several hours. But I'm definitely gonna get himself back into my life by killing my ass.
But no, there's that
good
one
thing
scene.
I drive this Toyota Prius with its MPG. No, sorry.
I remember this scene. Honestly, this scene fucking got tattooed onto my brain because it was that car. The car wreck just seemed so goddamn horrible.
It was
and
awesome.
Especially this part because, like, you see, I think this is what started it too. There was like a log
right.
truck.
It was like a log
where
truck,
the logs come loose. So you're looking at these big 3 foot in diameter logs hit the ground and bounce up. And the guy that got that one was a cop. And he's driving down the highway, and, like, he spilled his coffee or something, and he had to look down. He ducked down real quick, so he didn't see the log coming. And as soon as he popped his head back up to the correct driving position, this thing just plowed through him. And then you just see the back window explode with this log covered in, like, guts. And top face.
Yeah, I remember that. That was awesome.
It was fucking brutal.
And then, like, everything else happened after that. And then, like, a biker, like, slid into, like, a gas truck that exploded. And, like, it was pretty
bad. There was
one
dude in a Camaro who was, like, on fire. and like strapped into his car, trying to. He was burning alive, trying to get out of his car, and his like seatbelt was like holding him down, and like as he's like climbing out of his sunroof, and then a rogue fucking dump truck just finishes the job. It's like Jesus Christ.
That's awesome.
It is a kitchen sink approach to disaster making. It's like, yeah, that would suck. I don't know.
Yeah. They should have had like
a
tanker truck that was carrying like a shark to go into the aquarium, like to topple over and like start devouring people as it's like flying through the air.
You shit of all time. Yeah, just like just real, real bizarre things that you wouldn't expect to happen. Mm. Like it's just a, you know, it's a flatbed just covered in running chainsaws. Why? But you hit the bump and they fly everywhere. And then since they're running, the chains hit the ground and they just start. It's like screamers. They just start just flying forward, just looking for flesh.
You, sir, need to develop either a video game or a movie because that was genius right there. That sounds like a quick time event if I've ever heard one.
If that would happen. Go ahead.
You know what, Gogs? I wanted to talk a little briefly. That's some grammar for you. You know, it's Christmas.
It is.
We've talked about this many times.
Christmas
and already on the show. And if you had to name one important thing that would be on your Christmas list for everybody out there, and it can be fantastical. I mean, this is a hypothetical. What is on your Christmas list this year, Gogs? Number one on your Christmas list. Go ahead.
This show becomes a real boy.
Yes.
And not just a wooden puppet that it is. We get paid to do this. So I don't have to wake up in the morning and do work.
I would.
That and Left 4 Dead 2.
Well, that seems a lot more feasible. I would like to say that I would, as a Christmas wish, I would hope to never have to drink Malort again in my life. Is that what that shit was called?
That is the demon spawn. That is like...
Anybody here in the room... and I'll open it up real quick. Gogs, I'm sorry. Finish your point. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Demon spawn.
I mean, it's like what a dragon would piss. Like, it's the worst tasting nonsense ever. Like, just, it's like, if something seeped from an open wound, and then you mixed it with yeast and water, and then brewed that, in all honesty, it tastes, just to give people an idea, this is a liquor that you can only get in the city limits of Chicago.
Yes.
Called Malort, and it is, and I shit you not, this is the precise flavor that I get when it tastes like pickle brine and Aquanet hairspray. Like, that's the two
that's
flavors.
Disgusting.
It's and, like, then people say they taste grapefruit. I don't taste grapefruit.
No.
I taste pickle brine and Aquanet hairspray.
It was, somebody brought it at the roast, and they insisted that we drink it. And I've never had a drink that I took a drink of it, and I'm like, oh, that's okay. And then, like, 2 seconds later, like, violently, like, oh, no. Like, it's so, like, I've never had a drink that tasted so bad after I drank it. It was painful. It was like
it attacks the joints of your jaws. It makes that hurt. I don't know how it does that, but it makes that hurt.
Now, anybody in the room, including those of you in the chat, has anybody heard of this, Malort? It's available in Chicago. Apparently, it's only available in the city of Chicago. Anybody ever tried it before? Because I had never heard of it. Nobody? Nobody in the chat? Nobody on the call?
Both listeners? Anyone? Anyone? Yeah. Bueller?
But it is disgusting. In fact, one of our friends...
I'm putting a wiki... Oh, go ahead.
One of our friends told us that, I guess, Chicago, their like local city paper, put out an article that said, you know, what's your favorite Malort recipes? And one of the recipes was called the Bile Driver, and it was just Malort and orange juice. And I thought that title was hilarious, the Bile Driver.
Listen to this.
Yes.
Malort. It's on Wikipedia.
Okay.
Malort, a distilled beverage, is the name of a Swedish-style schnapps called, who gives a shit, flavored with wormwood. So the same shit
like,
that's in
it's like
absinthe.
Well,
yeah,
how is it only available in Chicago if it's from Sweden? Then we've got some bad information.
The only distributor of Malort in the United States is the Carl Jepsen Company of Chicago, named after a Swedish immigrant who popularized and sold the liquor in Chicago. Made in Chicago until the 70s, Malort is currently produced in Florida exclusively for Jepsen's. Jepson's Malort is a staple of the Chicago area taverns, but not well known elsewhere in the United States.
Ugh.
So
well, that's interesting. So it's
apparently
it's
bikers love it too.
It's just like absinthe, then, if it's distilled from wormwood. Well, I didn't hallucinate. I did. It just tasted like. But
no, it's flavored with wormwood. The smell and taste is musty and extremely bitter.
Yeah, no kidding. I imagine if you friggin' like if you ground up like a 96-year-old woman, a 96-year-old woman that never had been married, like she would taste like Malort, like bitter and not fun to be around at all.
I would rather drink someone's cremated ashes in milk than ever have to drink that again.
So disgusting.
It's the God's honest truth. That stuff is awful. It's like engine degreaser. I don't want to.
It's the worst thing, and Goggs and I are very heavy drinkers, and we've tried just about everything under the sun, I think, as far as alcohol goes.
If it's come in front of me, I've drank it.
I would say this is the worst
thing. If it's come in front of me, I've drank it.
Hi-oh!
Well, we're talking about ejaculations. This guy's a homo.
Hey, Gog, so if it came in front of you, you would definitely drink it. Is that what you said?
I think I said that twice.
I got the good load. It's going down on me.
You would drink the Lord semen is what I was trying to say. But that would be my wish, to never drink Malort again. But I'd like to know what everybody else has for a Christmas wish, and I'm going to start off with Mr., the one and only Jude Terror. Jude, what was your Christmas wish, buddy?
Well, you know, a lot of people have a Christmas wish that, you know, is maybe personal to them or something,
sure.
Something that they want. But for me, I like to think that my wish would be more of a... I guess some people would call it corny to wish for, like, world peace or something like that.
Sure.
But I have a special wish. You know, I wish that I would go to sleep on Christmas Eve, and when I woke up on Christmas morning, I would look outside, and the whole world would be populated by nothing but white people. What do you think?
Oh, man. So
wouldn't
you truly are... You truly are looking for a white... You're dreaming of a white Christmas.
You're working away half my family. I don't know whether to shake your hand or punch you in the mouth.
Well,
what about the weird whites?
Yeah. Yeah, Goggs doesn't like
the non-American.
Do you want
to be all Americans, or do you want to...
Goggs has a... He doesn't like the... Like, he doesn't like it when white people are from, like, fucking the Ukraine, because he's like, wait a second, these people aren't really white. The weird whites. But Jude, I think that is beautiful, honestly. I do. I think that we can all definitely agree with that. And it's a beautiful I think you coined the phrase white-topia. Is that
what you... Oh, I didn't coin that phrase. No, not at all.
That's hilarious. White-topia.
That is what it would be, though. Definitely.
Moving around the room, and for those of you in the chat, I'll offer you the same question. So if you give me a response here in the chat about what you want for Christmas, I will explain it to our audience, our listening audience. But Prozac, do you have a particular Christmas wish that you'd like to share with us?
Cash.
Yeah,
I need
hard
money.
how much money
I'm
would you need?
Broke.
Yeah, I hear that.
Probably, you know, about like $3,000 would probably put me back on track.
That'd be good. If you were a call girl, if you were really hot, I might give you the $3,000. You never know. And hell, you might not even have to.
It might
bang
give you $100 for nothing.
Yeah, right.
Nah, I'm a dude, and I'm starting to get kind of fat. Maybe like 10 years ago.
when you were really hot.
Yeah. Now I'm 36, I'm like losing my looks.
I hear you. I mean, I could say, you know, I wish I could say there was a point in my life where, like, 10 years ago I was really hot. Like, now I'm a pile of shit, but 10 years ago, shit, you would have just fucking, you would have diddled yourself if I walked in the room. But that's not the truth.
Doing the boxing training and everything, before my head injury, I was the shit.
Right,
but.
Yeah. Well... Just at least you had a prime. I'm still waiting for mine.
You know what? I actually have a better one. I wish Rhode Island would reverse their decision to close the indoor prostitution loophole that they had.
They had a loophole?
Until the summer, Mm-hmm. Prostitution was legal in Rhode Island as long as it took place indoors.
Sex or the solicitation?
Yeah. Yep. So, and that's the thing in Massachusetts, we get all, you know, at all the
both,
sex shops, they have, like, newspapers that are all for, like, Asian massage parlors in Rhode Island. And, you know, when it, once you go in there, whatever you're, you know, whatever happens in there, you know, happens in there. As long as it doesn't happen on the street, it was just to get the prostitutes off the fucking street. So you didn't have the streetwalkers anymore. And you know, it all stayed inside, but it kept on getting in the news and, you know, and so, you know, it wasn't, you know, politically popular anymore.
Right. That, you know what, though? Like, that's so, that's the way it should be. Why not? Victimless crime. I say this every day.
Well, also, I mean, in Massachusetts, it's kind of, you know, the escort services here, it's like they have, they advertise them in, like, the Boston Phoenix in the newspaper. They have an adult section.
Right.
And it's basically, you know, the cops kind of look the other way. It's sort of like an unspoken truce where they can do it in the newspaper, you do it indoors, it's not a problem, but if you're a streetwalker, you're going straight to jail.
Sure. Well,
you know, that,
you know.
And that's sort of like the silent deal, but once, you know, sort of the older cops leave, the younger cops, you know, and the new and the younger politicians, they sort of, you know, they don't know about the deal, or they sort of forget what how things used to be when there were streetwalkers all over Boston,
right.
Which was fun to look at when I was a kid. But but I mean, you know, that's the way it goes. So it goes in cycles.
Well, that's interesting.
So
I mean,
yeah, you're probably just in the wrong state for your previous conversation.
Well, again, I still think it's more about my. My personal, you know, involvement with the whole thing, but we'll see. Again, it's not the end. This is just, but a continuation of.
It's definitely it's not just like anybody doing it. I mean, it's the El Topo.
That's true. It's true. Well, the boss Bass in the chat, some listener feedback, has a Christmas wish also that I'd like to share with you guys. He says that he wishes for a less sensitive prostate. It's like having a hungry chick buried deep in my lower intestine. Yeah, well, I think we can all agree with that. Well, you know what, boss? I hope for you that Santa Claus comes down the chimney and massages your prostate or makes it smaller or whatever it is. But, you know, I hope that all of our Christmas wishes come true, especially Jude's. But all of our Christmas wishes should come true because Santa needs to recognize that we've all been very good this year. We've all done our utmost to be great people. And
at least
they,
entertaining people.
If nothing else, very entertaining. At least I think so. I think that Gogs and I have tried our damnedest to give you guys a quality show week in and week out for, God, what, 13 weeks now? We're really rolling along. It's funny every time I update the show or schedule a new show, that how many shows that we've done. It always kind of astounds me. But anyway, Gogs, I'd like to bring in our special guest for one more Christmas treat that I think that you all enjoy. I know everybody loves Gary Busey, and I'm sure if I prodded you guys a little more, one of your Christmas wishes would have had Gary Busey sing a popular Christmas song. So that's what we talked to Gary about, and that's what he's going to do. Gary Busey, Gogs, give him the mic, and I'll let him introduce the song that he's going to regale us with.
Hey, what's going on? It's time for a silent night. Here we go. Am I doing this a cappella?
Just do it however you'd like to do it, sir. You are the man, so I don't want to step over your artistic interpretation.
All right, here we go. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright. Round young virgin, mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace. Peace, sleep in heavenly peace. It's kind of hard for my vocal range, you know.
That was beautiful.
Drink all that whiskey and smoke on them cigarettes.
Yes, that was beautiful, though.
Thank you.
That was amazing.
Did it give you chills? It gave me chills.
I've never really...
I also passed out.
You passed out during that song?
You're right about virgin. I passed out.
It's ironic. Anytime I've ever met a virgin, they were passed out as well. Hi-yo! Ooh, I'm talking about underage sex there. A little statutory rape coming at you. Anyway.
I'd like to try the DJ voice.
Oh, yeah?
Hey, everybody, I don't even know what's going on here. I'm just Gary Busey. I'm just drinking all that stuff and singing songs and being weird.
Hey, you want to do a little ping pong, Gary? Maybe, you know, like a true DJ?
Sure.
I'll come out of a record, as they say.
And in my way.
Yeah. Hey, that was a little hit from Miley Cyrus. That's called Hey, Look, That's My Vagina, My 18-Year-Old Vagina. Hey, Gary, what do you think about there, Miley Cyrus?
I gotta say, that she's not a little piece of ass. I wouldn't know him just putting it in her and just doing stuff to her. Her dad's kind of a loser, and he's never really had a career, so he's whoring out his daughter. Next, we got Boston with More Than a Feeling, which is what I have for Miley Cyrus.
Very nice. That was incredible. That was good.
Thank you.
We work well as a team, Gary. You should definitely think about a regular radio gig.
With this voice and these looks.
It's
I'm
perfect.
Made for radio.
Yeah, Dang. It's perfect. Nice. You zinged yourself there. But, pass the mic over to Goggs. But I just got to say, yet again, an amazing performance on the show. You always deliver. You're like the Babe Ruth. You just call your shot and knock it out of the fucking park.
Consummate mark. Professional.
Every time. It's brilliant. Thank you,
Point
sir.
Break.
You were in Point Break.
He was in Point Break. There's
that
no
was
denying that.
Did you hear his radio voice? That was
yeah,
pretty good.
No, it's great. It's pretty good. He's
he even worked in a clever joke with Miley Cyrus and the song More Than a Feeling by Boston. Now, what Hang top on. 40 station is going to play Miley Cyrus and followed by Boston? I have no idea. But
if you're familiar with the Baltimore area, I'm pretty sure Jack FM does that on the regular basis. Isn't their whole bit like, we'll play anything, please fucking listen.
Well, it's funny, Goggs. I think our listeners can definitely still relate to that because that Jack format, that's something that's like all over the country. But yeah. That whole idea is that, like, it's basically somebody's iPod on random. Like, they'll play...
We have no genre.
Yeah, they'll play... Go ahead, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That's like Mike FM in Boston.
Yeah, it's all the same. It's completely
is
bullshit.
Is it all four-letter male names? Jack, Mike, Dave FM?
Yeah.
Steve FM?
Yeah,
John, Nick, and Harry?
Go,
yeah, exactly.
You know what it is? And we had Jack for a while. I think it failed out here in Jersey. Or in the New York market is what we're considered, but I think that that what it is the last gasp of a dying industry. I mean, the radio business, especially terrestrial radio, just doesn't know what to do anymore. Now that they have to compete with things like iPods and music available on your cell phone or whatever, and the only thing that they had left, radio had left, is personality driven radio, like the kind of show that you guys are doing here. On the molehole, and now that you guys are doing the molehole on the internet, is there any need for radio at all? We just need internet in our cars and molehole.
Yeah, and I mean the thing is, like, even shows like, you know, Stern and Opie and Anthony, like they're much more comfortable in a satellite environment where they can do whatever they want and they don't have to worry about getting fined every second for, you know, questionable content. You know what I mean?
It's not even that, because the FCC wasn't fining anybody in like the final days when Howard was on the air, when Opie and Anthony were on the air. There was never any question of them getting fined or prosecuted by the government. It's lawyers and corporations just losing their balls in the past decade that chased those guys off of radio, because it wasn't a legal thing. It was their bosses and the companies not supporting people, and not supporting people like Imus getting fired, things like that.
Well, the companies, I think,
it's a voluntary thing.
Well, it's true, but I think like the bullshit with like Janet Jackson, like that definitely set like this weird precedence where everybody got really scared. You know what I mean?
Fucked up everything.
Well, like what's going to happen next? And that ties into your like losing their balls comment, and I totally agree with you. I'm just saying that. There's definitely, like, this air of, like, well, what the fuck's... Like, if they're gonna... Because, remember, they lost their shit over that stupid boob that popped out. And I think a lot of people, especially corporate people, are like, well, we don't want to be the next person to be, like, you know, kind of thrown under the hatchet of public opinion. You know what I mean? But either way...
It didn't start with that. I mean, ONA were kicked off the air in what, 2001, 2002 for the Sex for Sam incident.
Banging in a church, right?
Yeah, and it wasn't even like they told people go bang in a church. They had a contest sponsored by like by Sam Adams, so it was obviously like, you know, the
sure.
the company knew this was going on and like had approved it. You know, for couples to go around and have sex in public places, and like, you know, the Catholic League and other like special interest groups got all on them about having sex in the church, St. Patrick's Cathedral,
right?
And you know, and they just caved. And people,
right,
and
of course,
they've been
yeah.
caving
well, they
in
always
radio
do.
Ever since
yeah.
then.
They're pussies. I mean, they're pussies.
But they're financially feeling the backlash now, because now you can go to iTunes and download the Outhouse podcast and the Molehole radio show and just plug in your iPod to your car and you listen to that while driving instead of
yep.
listening to the bullshit on the radio.
Indeed.
I mean,
the regular radio is fucked.
And even if
they're paying
even
for
if,
it now, they deserve
yeah.
it.
And even if you don't want to listen to our show, God only knows why you wouldn't, but maybe you want to listen to some music. There's so many other ways to get music now. I mean, you can go to like
Pandora.
Last.fm or, you know, or even if you have satellite, I would say that their selection of music, while I don't really care for it all that much, is a lot more personalized than anything you're going to get on terrestrial radio. You know what I mean? Like, there is, you know, there's a, like a heavy metal station on Sirius, which isn't all that great for me, but it's definitely a lot, like, if you want to listen to, like, regular mainstream heavy metal, like, there's no freaking radio station, at least around here, where you can listen to that crap. Like, they have, like, a rock station. They have a couple of rock stations here in Maryland and the Baltimore area, but they just play, like, Nickelback, and they play, I would call kind of heavy alternative music. Like, there's no real heavy metal station Ugh. Around here. And it's just, I just think that radio is just what Jude said. It's such a dying medium because it just doesn't offer the level of personalization that you can get from every other source out there. And they need to adapt.
Pandora is just such
a better. I mean,
Pandora
is
just
simple.
Such a better radio station than anything I've ever heard on regular radio on its own.
Oh yeah.
I mean.
Well,
and
I think that
like
Sirius
being able
and XM,
plug that
Sirius
from my
and XM
phone
are
into
better radio stations than I'd ever heard on regular radio. I mean, I hated.
Well,
I went probably, I would say, even before I had Sirius, I went probably 15 years without listening to the radio, like the regular rate. Like for music, I stopped listening to the radio for a long time. And it's just, there's nothing. Why would you listen to the radio? It's just garbage. But Jude, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, to answer your question, there's only one reason for personality-driven radio, for talk shows.
Sure,
show
talk
like,
radio.
A show like
Absolutely.
This, a show like Howard Stern,
sure.
you know, Opie and Anthony, even, like, if you're into, like, the political thing and you're listening to, like, somebody like Rush Limbaugh.
Literally.
Like, that's the kind of thing that you can't get, you know, on your iPod, you know, for, I mean, you could download a recording of it and put it on your iPod, but that's
sure.
the only thing that radio can offer you live that's new and fresh.
That's true.
And
the only thing I listen to
up.
On the radio... The only thing I listen to on the radio right now is NPR, honestly.
Yeah.
That's it. Like, because I like NPR when I'm driving to work and coming back, and I don't feel like, because if I listen to a music station, I either A, hate the music, or B, it's nothing but commercials anyway.
Sure.
At least on NPR, the commercial breaks are short, and the news is relevant, so it's like,
right.
okay, I can deal with this.
Yeah, but I agree with you guys. We're all on the same page here. Radio fucking blows. And, you know, we here at the Molehole Radio aspire to be on satellite radio, not on terrestrial radio. Though, I can't lie and say if we got an offer to be on terrestrial radio, we wouldn't take it in a heartbeat. We'd have to tone down the show a little bit. But, I say this with all, I mean, I guess this is a cocky and arrogant statement to make, but I've listened to a lot of shows here locally, especially morning shows, because my alarm is a radio and, the 10 minutes that I listen to that radio show that comes in the morning here, I know in my heart of hearts that Goggs and I can do a better show every day than that fucking douchebag. There's no way. There's no way that we couldn't do a better show. And furthermore, and I really appreciate y'all listening to my show, and it's I should say our show. I really appreciate everybody listening to the podcast because, again, Goggs and I really do try to make this a good show, and we try every week to change things up and try to go with things that worked and change things that don't and so forth and so on. But I've listened to a lot of podcasts, and I talk to Goggs about this a lot. I've listened to podcasts where I guarantee they're making money, and I still think we put on a better show. Now, the quality, the sound quality is a little suspect. Can't argue with that. But we're working on that. And pretty soon we will probably have a way more professional sounding podcast. We just need to set a date when we're going to record it. But
and God, once you God, do that, Topo, I'll definitely I mean, you know, I set up the feed to get us all on iTunes in that one big feed. But you know, once you're ready to move forward and start promoting your show more, and you get the better quality and whatnot, I'll help you set up, like, you know, a private feed for your show and maybe a website and stuff like that. I'll definitely help you out with all that.
Oh, great. Well, I do appreciate that, but we'll let you know. It'll be soon. It's going to be after the holidays and everything. It's just too freaking hectic right now. But what I'm trying to say is that I've listened to a lot of podcasts after doing this show. I do it just to kind of get a gauge on how people do their shows. You know, I'd like to know how things are done, and I really do feel, and this could be me being arrogant or cocky, but I think that we put on a really good show, and a show that's a little different than what you get on a usual podcast. I think we really do try as hard as we can to make this professional and try to move it along. And I'm not to throw any particular podcast under the bus, but a lot of other podcasts I find very dry and boring, and I'd have a hard time listening to it for more than about 20 minutes. And again, I'm talking about podcasts where I know that the hosts get paid probably decent money. So hopefully one day we'll get to the point where we can make decent money and then start to suck. So then you can be like, well, I remember when they were hungry.
I love it.
And, but this is we've gone a really long time. It's almost 11 o'clock. But you know what, guys? I don't feel like slowing
my
down.
Own.
We still got a lot more show to do. And you know what? I'm feeling good. So let's move right on to your favorite part of the show, Rapid Fire Comic Reviews.
Rapid Fire Comic Reviews, brought to you by Nothing Clever. That's right, Nothing Clever. I didn't think of anything funny to bumper this week, so I'm just going with Nothing Clever at all. Here we go, Rapid Fire Comic Reviews. Starting up, are you serious about this first one? Okay, Chimichanga number one?
Yes, Chimichanga number one. Drawn and written by Eric Powell of the Goon fame.
Can I make a request?
Go ahead.
Can all of Rapid Fire Comic Reviews be done in radio voice?
Yes. All right, well, I got to start over again if I'm going to do that. So, hold on.
All right, did you guys do one time?
Chimichanga. Laser teasers if you're going to do that. Want me to do them?
Laser teasers? Nice. All right, guys, let's do the intro one more time. And do it in radio voice, and then I can start.
Looks like it's coming up around 7 till the hour, and it's time for Rapid Fire Comic Reviews. That's right, Rapid Fire Comic Reviews, brought to you by Steve's Honda. That's right, Steve's Honda. You want a car that probably sucks, made in another country, go to Steve's Honda. Up first, we got Chimichanga number one. Well, hey, everybody, this is Chimichanga number one. It's written and drawn by Eric Powell. He's written and drawn the goon for Dark Horse Comics. The goon, everybody loves the goon. It's about a goon that beats
everybody
a
loves
monster.
Goon.
Everybody loves that goon. Chimichanga is an odd story about a traveling circus and a small young girl, a bearded woman named, well, she doesn't have a name, she's a bearded woman, but she finds a big monster that's named Chimichanga, and this monster is going to bring fame and fortune to her traveling circus. It's a highly recommended
that
book.
That monster's
really
no
like
taco, ladies and gentlemen.
No, that's Chimichanga. It's covered in cheese and it's delicious. But
that is
I'd
not
like
a fried burrito, that is definitely a monster.
Yes, it is. It's a terrifying monster that's going to bring fame and fortune to this traveling circus that the little girl is part of, the little bearded woman. It's a very odd comic, but I really enjoyed it. It had overtones of David Lynch and a little bit of Alejandro Jodorowsky.
David Lynch, famously known for his Eraserhead work, and that thing everyone still feels a little weird about Eraserhead, but I live in Blue Velvet. Next, we got Dark Avengers number 12.
Yeah, Dark Avengers number 12, written by Brian Michael Bendis. It's another quality issue in his run, and I know Mike Diaz Jr. makes really hot women drawings. Really like this issue. Century turns into the Molecule Man. Next comic, guys.
Next, we got Incorruptible number one.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that. What comic was it?
That's Incorruptible number one.
Oh, Incorruptible number one. This is the follow-up to I don't even remember what it's called. The other era something book by Mark Waid. This is about Max Damage, who is a supervillain that decides to go to a life of good doing. This is a great issue. It sets up very well for a highly exciting series. Max Damage has a sidekick named Jailbait who's underage and he doesn't want to bang her. Next comic, please, guys. Knock, knock, who's there? It's Baron Von Zemo, because we've got Thunderbolts number 139.
Actually, guys, Baron Von Zemo has been in the Thunderbolts quite some time.
I did not realize that. Please push on.
Hey, Thunderbolts. God, this is tough. Thunderbolts also an excellent issue. It involves Nuke, who's now called Zurge, and he kicks everybody's ass. He kicks the stupid Agents of Atlas' ass. The characters that Marvel wants everybody to love, but nobody does. Thank you. Next comic, please.
Everybody, Steve Rogers is pulling a Jesus! Captain America Reborn number 5!
Even though Marvel spoiled this whole series, this is actually a wonderful issue with a great fantastic artwork and a cool, climaxing storyline with a battle that will, ensure the fate of Captain America. Will Red Skull win? I don't know, probably not, because we've already seen the ending. Next comic, please, guys!
He's a blind guy, his mother's a nun, he got his powers from an isotope, it's Daredevil number 503!
Hey, you know what's happening with Daredevil, guys?
No, I do not.
Daredevil is the owner and ruler of the ninja assassin group, The Hand. What do you think about that,
guys? The Hand. I'm a little surprised because he used to fight The Hand, but now he's running The Hand.
It's classic.
I guess one hand watched the other.
It's classic juxtaposition, guys. That was quite a clever turn of phrase. Well, let me tell you.
I tell you
Daredevil
what.
Go ahead.
I was just saying, I hope The Hand does not use sign language because he is blind.
Wow, Gags, you're a pretty funny guy. But that's the kind of exciting thing you'll hear on the Molho Radio. It's knee-slapping hilarity 24-7 if you listen to us on iTunes or TalkShoe.com. And if you want to listen to more of our latest antics, or scratch that, if you want to read more of our hilarious antics, you got to check out theouthousers.com. That is
www.theouthousers.com. It is the greatest comic forum on the internet. Read it.
Indeed. Read it and look at pictures of El Topo in his ultra zexiness, let me tell you. Now, guys, we got a little off topic there, but I'd like to talk about a little bit of Daredevil, if I could, please.
Daredevil 503.
Daredevil's having a classic moral decision going on because he's dealing with The Hand, who's innately an evil group, but he's still a superhero at heart. So he's questioning whether or not his morals are in question here because he's doing evil things to try to get good means, and he doesn't know if that's the right decision for him to make.
You're in the hotel room, the hooker's in the bed, your wedding ring's on the table, what do you do next?
I don't know. Perhaps you didn't hear the story earlier. I obviously don't want to handle myself well with hookers. But let me just tell you that this issue is fantastic. Andy Diggle does a great job writing Daredevil, and he's done three really quality issues so far. And I'm about to burp. That's Rapid Fire Comic Reviews. Thank you very much.
Rapid Fire Comic Reviews. Well, that was fun.
Oh,
I enjoyed that thoroughly.
You did a difficult. Very nice job. I must commend you. That was smooth transition.
That is a lot harder than I thought it was. I don't know how those guys.
Yeah, we gotta
do
give
it.
Those hacks some credit.
Yeah, hey, I get. It's good. It's fun though. I gotta say, it is. It is fun. But the problem that I have is when you're supposed to switch your cadence, because they're a lot like an old, like a manual car. Like you have to go and then like shift and be like, it was good. Like you got to go from high to low to high to low to high to low.
You're like ramping
mid.
Up. You're ramping up, then you drop down. Then you might. You don't want to stall.
No. You know? No. I did a few times. That sign language bit was pretty funny. I thought that was pretty funny. But good week for comics. If you couldn't tell by that insane pile of reviews, I really did like comics this week. And I even really liked Thunderbolts. And I can't believe it, but they're making Nuke into a character that I think is kind of interesting. And Nuke from who I always thought was a throwaway Frank Miller creation is actually turning out to be kind of neat. But anyway, that's enough fucking comic book talk. Comic book talk is fucking nerds.
Nerdy.
Gog, since
you managed
getting
to squeeze 3 hours in the last 3 minutes.
Yeah, you know, that's what we do. That's what we do. I mean, can you imagine if we actually did the whole show like that? We could probably get a 3-hour show done in like an hour easily. We should just try.
20-minute workout.
We should have like a test show where we just try it. Like, we keep it up the entire time. Like we just see how long we can do it. I don't know if I even could. But
I threw up a little in my mouth halfway through that.
It was
tough.
Yeah, I definitely had the bile coming up in my throat. But
I'm in my base. I'm swaying side to side. I found the only way I could do this is like downhill skiing. I've got to like get to either side of the microphone and then swing myself all the way around and hit it from the other way. I got to look one direction and then I go back.
I just imagine what my roommate is thinking downstairs, because I'm sure she can hear me like yelling. Like, she's like, what the fuck is going on up there? But anyway.
Did Rick D's break into the house?
Yeah, right. We're going to skip the next this is some director's commentary. We're going to skip the upcoming films of 2010. We're going to do that next week. So next week, guys, tune in. We're going to talk about some movies coming out next year that we want to talk about. Because we already talked a lot about movies tonight. So I feel like...
It's a long movie night.
Yeah, I feel like we've already talked enough about fucking movies. So next week, we'll work in the films. We're looking forward for 2010. It'll be more appropriate since it'll be our New Year's show. Goggs, this is going to be our ending segment, so I'm going to turn it over to you. This is your video game segment, so make it your own, buddy. Go
All
ahead.
Right. Well, you know, 2010, or we're coming up on 2010, 2009's coming to a close, so, you know, it's about, you know, we can call it the end of the decade. So
sure.
Me, TJ, and I are talking about the our top games of the last decade, and we each generated a quick little list about what we thought. And I kind of just want to go through them and just, you know, what we felt were, you know, the big ones, the big heavy hitters.
Yeah, and we stuck to consoles only, people. So no PC
so
games.
World of Warcraft, you know, bow down.
Yeah.
You know, we know you generate more than some country's gross domestic product in a month, but just
yeah.
Get over it. We'll
yeah, we didn't, we didn't, we did not name you, but yeah, we both made a top 10 list. Guys, you can go ahead first if you'd like, or do you want me to go first?
I'll go ahead. I'll start off.
This is our
top 10 games of
the decade.
Let's like do like two cats with a turtle they got trapped. We'll just bat it back and forth until it dies.
Okay.
I'll start. I'd like to start with. Start early in the decade with GTA 3, a game that I think revolutionized. It brought Grand Theft Auto back from the dead, and it gave us all the great Grand Theft Auto games that we now enjoy and love today. Because it was the third one, was they went from top down to 3D, gave you the full roaming city. As far as a game changer for the way that open world games, did open world games exist before then? Because
no.
I wasn't aware of them.
That came out
so,
in the 2000s. Grand Theft Auto. Got it. Grand Theft Auto 3.
Grand Theft Auto 3 was 2001.
God damn. That makes me feel
yeah.
like that doesn't even seem right, but yeah, wow. That's amazing.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's coming up on old school, but
yeah.
that's a big.
Yeah,
I was thinking that for how it changed the industry, that was a big fucking deal.
Yeah, you know, in a way, Grand Theft Auto 3 is kind of like the Led Zeppelin of video games, because not only was it a great game that inspired a lot of good games, it also inspired a lot of total garbage. So just like Led Zeppelin was an amazing band that paved the way for a lot of other amazing bands, Led Zeppelin also paved the way for fucking hair metal. So, you know, it ruined...
Gave morons hope.
I mean... For every Grand Theft Auto 3 that was a great open-world game, you had the Spider-Man movie game and all that other nonsense. So, you know, but yeah, I agree. I totally agree. Grand Theft Auto 3 changed not only the open world changed everything, but the music. I mean, I don't think a game before that, the music was such a huge factor in the game.
Well, just the level of detail, like all the little minutiae you could get into that was just like, you could bang a hooker, like... That was such a ridiculous... And it really, I mean, it gave you a little help. I mean, it wasn't necessary to advance
something
the
that
plot,
I need to do in a video game because I can't do it in real life.
The game goes all the time.
Zing. Yeah. Is that a specific number or no? You didn't...
For Grand Theft Auto?
On your list. Is that a number?
I didn't really number them. I just kind of picked 10 influential games of the 2000s.
Fair enough. So you want me to name one?
Yeah, go ahead. You can start, if you have yours in order or wherever
else.
Well,
I will definitely say that Goggs' list is probably going to be a bit better than mine because I honestly have a short memory. So I picked some older ones, but nothing... I actually kind of totally forgot that the PS2 era, the tail end of the PS2 era was definitely still in the 2000s. So I'm just going to say first off that I guess all my games are all next-gen games. So all PlayStation 3, Xbox 360 games. But again, that's due to my alcoholism and very short memory. But the first game that I'm going to mention is Little Big Planet. Now, as a platformer itself, it's not that revolutionary. It's a good platformer, but it's not that revolutionary. The reason that I feel that it's a revolutionary game is because it's probably the first game that I can ever remember that gave everything that the developers used to make the levels to the players. It gave, like, the whole, like, the game, the point of the game wasn't even to get through the game through all the levels, like a Mario game. The point of the game was to get through the levels, get a sense of what you want to make, and then build your own levels and share it to share it with people, and then play it with people. I think that that is an amazing thing, because as far as, like, replay value goes, it's got as much replay value as you want to put into it, because it gives you all these development tools to build a game. And to its credit, it's not the first time that a game has done this. Like, there was, like, the RPG Maker game that came out a long time ago, I think on PS1. But it made everything simple. Like, anyone could create a level. And it gave, like, I just thought that the level of kind of the thing that it pushed user content so much, I thought that was a revolutionary concept. And I hope that it's something that maybe other developers will pick up on. I mean, as much as possible. Obviously, you can't have a game like, I don't know, like a Call of Duty, where you have, you know, that level of detail and editing in your software. But I think that Little Big Planet was a big step forward. I thought it was really interesting. And it's great to always see what people come up with. You know, it was fun the first day when you logged in and saw other people's levels and what they could do with it. So that would be my first one I'd like to throw out there.
Little Big Planet like, paved the way for, like, stuff. I think, like, even Dragon Age Origins by BioWare, that's going to have the tools are already out there, at least for the PC version, for people to generate, like, their own dungeons and scenarios and quests and everything else. So that's, like, taking it one step further. But, like, Little Big Planet, like, the response, I agree, the response that they gave, that the community got from, or gave out, just by being able to have that much control was huge.
Sure. Sure.
All right, so my next big game of the decade would be Halo Combat Evolved on the Xbox, the original. The game that, you had first-person shooters. You've been having first-person shooters forever. But there's just something about the way they did it and something about the way that game played, especially the multiplayer, that just, and that kind of, you know, that sets off the whole, you know, Halo 2, Halo 3, ODST, that whole bit. But, Halo, when the first Halo dropped and you played that, that was something fucking new and crazy. And I loved every second. That was another influential console shooter.
Now, the thing is, I think that, and you mentioned it, the multiplayer. I think that was the first kind of must-have multiplayer online game. Because I think before that title would have gone to, like, GoldenEye. Because the multiplayer in GoldenEye was great. For Nintendo 64, but that's all localized gameplay. Halo is, like, the first kind of hint that, like, Xbox Live and this kind of online connectivity something was going to be big. Like, and I agree with you. Even though I don't like Halo, I never have. I thought it's too floaty. I don't like it. I always
The Halo family of games on the consoles. Now, you always had, like, Unreal tournaments.
Right,
and everything else on the PCs, and you had Half-Life and stuff. Yeah, and Doom and Quake and all those guys. But for console games,
consoles,
like, Halo was winning the war until Call of Duty 4 came out. Like, everyone was playing. If you were playing an online shooter, you were playing a Halo game. That was, like, the way it was. Mm-hmm. And now it's undeniable how influential that game was, in my humble opinion.
I agree.
Yeah.
Totally agree.
I mean, it's definitely a kickoff game. For me, it was still kind of slow. I only played a one player, and it was still kind of too sluggish for me. I mean, I liked it. I liked the graphics. I liked the storyline. I actually read some of the books, but, like, the gameplay itself, just the mechanics of it, I wasn't that into it.
Right. Well, I never liked it either, but I definitely still see its influence and its impact on console gaming. I mean, it was huge, and it's still huge. I mean, it's still a brand that moves systems. So, I definitely see where Gogs is coming from. Let's see here. Well, you know what? I'm actually going to go to a PS2 game that I didn't think about. I just thought about it now. And on my initial list, I didn't write it down. But you know what? I'm going to say it anyway. Resident Evil 4 should be talked about. That game, nice. That game took Resident Evil, which I loved, Resident Evil 1 and 2, good games, 3 was okay, but good games, but got kind of stale. The whole kind of movement, the whole, you know, fixed camera, it got a little old, and it got a little tired, and Resident Evil 4 came out, and it was totally different. It was like, it's more action-based. Though it still has the puzzle elements, and it's still got kind of the suspense elements, I wish Resident Evil 5 took that approach. But Resident Evil 4 was just such a neat, unique game to totally turn that franchise on its ear. Now, the only reason I almost didn't include it on my list is because the follow-up to Resident Evil 4, which should have been amazing because all it needed to do was update Resident Evil 4 with new graphics, Resident Evil 5 was a total letdown, but it really shouldn't diminish what a real classic game Resident Evil 4 was.
Resident Evil 4 is still one of the best games on the Wii.
Well, yeah, but that's not saying much. That's like being the world's strongest retard. I mean, it doesn't really.
It was really good on the Wii.
Retards are pretty strong.
Yeah. I know, but I'm just saying. But no, that you're right. It's a great game. It's a really good. It's a good game. If you still have the PS2 version, it's a good game. I loved it, and it also. Did God of War come out before that? Or no, I don't remember.
Oh,
again,
gosh, shit. How did that not make my list? Oh, teaser. Well, it just did. Fuck.
Well, I don't know if it came out before God of War or after, but the QuickTime events in Resident Evil 4 were really neat, too. I don't know if it was that innovative, because I know God of War kind of made... That was kind of what made God of
2005.
War... 2005. When did Resident Evil 4 came out in 2005?
That's when God of War came out. Resident Evil 4 came out in, like, 2000 and... I thought it came out in 4.
Well, either way. But, anyway. Yeah, Resident Evil 4 was great, and it definitely took a good franchise and made it way better. It's a shame that Resident Evil 5 was such a letdown. Hopefully they'll fix it with Resident Evil 6 and take out that goddamn co-op mode. You know, let me just take a break real quick and pause. It's video game related. I downloaded, Army of Two, the 40th day? The demo that came out over the week?
Oh, yeah, I just downloaded that. How come I can't play that by myself?
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I don't want to play with another fucking person. I'd like to play it by my fucking self.
And they're not as
Fuck
good as me.
Fuck you for making me play with other people. I don't want to play with other people. I especially don't want to play a game I've never played before with another person. Fuck you.
It's not the way to sell the demo.
Yeah. I deleted it. As soon as I found it, I couldn't play by myself. Fuck you. Anyway, but yeah, that's all. Go ahead, Gogs. You got one.
Oh, well, now I want to say God of War because it's fucking amazing, but I'm going to stick with my usual list. I'm going to go with my next big heavy hitter, I think, for the decade was... I'm looking with Guitar Hero for my next one.
Yeah, that's a you know that's a big one. I was struggling with that one. I didn't know if I wanted to put that on there or not.
I mean, you had DDR, so you had rhythm games before. I mean, rhythm games are really nothing new. But
you also had something like Parappa the Rapper and Jammer Lammy, two of my favorite games, but nobody ever bought them. So,
but there's not. I mean, there's like my Guitar Hero story is. This is back when me and Topo lived together.
That's right. This is funny.
I come home from work, and he's already home, and he's like, dude, you got to come check us out. I run out of his room, and I'm watching him play this damn game on his PlayStation 2 with still a guitar, and he hands it over to me, and I play, like, I Love Rock and Roll by Joan Jett. And I was like, well, all right, fuck it. And so I went out, I got noodles, and then I went to Best Buy, and within 45 minutes, there were two copies of the game and two guitars in our house, so we could play.
You couldn't get the... When it first came out, you could not get the guitar separately. You had to buy it with the game.
No, yeah, so
the first
copies.
Guitar Hero, and Gogs can attest to this, I was all about that game before it ever came out. Like, I was really excited about it, but no one was really talking about it when it first came out. It was definitely a sleeper. When it was first released. In fact, I had to go to several electronic stores that day to even buy it. And, yeah, so it was... Gogs, Gogs was so taken by Guitar Hero that he spent $80 just so he could play it with me. It was pretty great. But what were you saying, Gogs? I'm sorry.
And Guitar Hero is probably generated or has been the stepping off point for arguably the most profitable video game franchise ever. Because they wrote that code once, they didn't have much else to do, and they keep selling. They probably sell the most DLC of any console game.
Yeah, and the only thing that hurts Guitar Hero is that the idea has gotten kind of stale now, and it's almost kind of passe because everyone's like, "Oh, Guitar Hero, it's kind of boring." But you got to remember when that came out, that really was like the ultimate party game. That was like so much fun and so different, and it's a good call, Gogs. I agree with you. It was a big deal when that game came out. It was like a phenomenon as far as video games go. And for me,
I was probably the last person to get bitten by the bug. Didn't play it until after my car accident this summer. I was stuck in my house. They had Guitar Hero Aerosmith on sale for $18 with the guitar at Toys R Us. So I was like, all right, fuck it. I was like, all right, for that, it's Aerosmith. I like Aerosmith. Fuck it, I'll get it. And then I got hooked. And then fucking Gamefly. I got like all the rest of the games. And that was fucking.
Yeah. I mean, it's great. And then of course that paved the way for Rock Band, which I think is better.
DJ Hero.
Yeah, and even though no one likes DJ Hero except for me, but. I agree, Gogs. It was a big deal. It was a big step in gaming. Now, it may have gotten kind of tired and passe now, but it definitely was something that was a game changer when it was released. It was a big fucking deal.
And it brought more, before we showed up, it was probably the first game that brought more casual players into the mix.
Right. No,
I
agree.
You have to be a hardcore gamer to figure out how to play Guitar Hero. Now, there's people who played it hardcore style, like they played everything on whatever, on the most difficult settings, but anyone, any moop that could use their hands could put it on easy and strum through a song.
Sure, you'll remember, that was like in our party days. Like, when we used to have parties, people used to friggin' want us to bring out the guitar. Like, that was a big, like, everybody loved it when you brought out Guitar Hero. Like, it became like performance art to a certain extent. I mean, you know, it was great.
Yeah, you're taking requests. Yeah, it was good times.
It was fun. And it's still fun, in my opinion. Now, like I said, it's lost a little bit of its luster, but it's still great, and it's a good idea. And, you know, go Guitar Hero. I still love the fact that, like, old rock stars hate Guitar Hero because they're like, hey, it's not like, well, kids should learn real guitar. Well, I've never understood that because if you want to play guitar, like, if playing Guitar Hero, don't you think that's going to make people want to play guitar? I know when I play Guitar Hero, half the time I want to go downstairs and actually play guitar, but whatever. What do I know?
What Randy Marsh was saying.
I know.
Well, what I think they should do is do Rock Band Weird Al and do an accordion controller.
That would be amazing. I want the like Rock Band DLC Dare to Be Stupid. That would be so fucking great.
I'd love that.
That'd
be, you know what? I would totally buy it if there was. Especially if there was an accordion controller. That'd be the funniest shit of all time.
Oh, and for anybody out there that has a Rock Band for their, for some reason has a new Guitar Hero game or Rock Band game in between their Xbox and their PS3, for some reason, I don't know how this is, the microphone for the Xbox works in the PS3. I don't know why. It was some kind of odd thing that I found out the other day, so. Anyway, there you go. Free tip from your buddy Topo. It's time for one on my list, huh, Gogs?
Yes, sir.
I'm going to go into the modern era again, because I said a lot of mine are. And I'm going to say BioShock. I thought that this game was, as far as being a game changer and something that really made people stop and go, holy shit, its level of how it immerses you in the game, as far as the storyline, the graphics, the music, the setting, it just really pulled you into the game, unlike a lot of other games. I don't think that they try to get this level of immersion, and they fail. And I think BioShock just pulled you in and kept you there the whole time, and the twist at the end of the game was genuinely like, holy shit, that was amazing. I can't believe, like, it was an experience, you know? it wasn't just a game. It was like, wow. Like, I can't believe I just beat that. That was just fantastic. And I really, really loved it. I cannot wait for the second one. If the only thing is that I feel like my expectations are too high for the second one because I love the first one so much. But
BioShock also made it onto my list for the exact same reasons. I mean, it was beautiful. It was immersive. It was just a gorgeous game to look at. And it was a game that really wasn't on my radar when it first got announced. Because I didn't realize it was going to be as shootery as it ended up being.
Right.
I didn't know the way it was marketed didn't really do it for me. It really
the customizable weapons, the plasmids and all that.
All of it. It really came down to the reviews had to be. Once the reviews came out and everyone else got up on it, I was like, all right, I'll give it a whirl. But it's on my list as well, and it's one of my anticipated games of next year. So there's some commonality there.
All right. Let's do one more each because I am getting a little sleepy. It's getting kind of late. I still got to go to work tomorrow. So one more each.
Oh, I hear you.
Is that good?
Yeah, one more each is good. Yeah, I can do that. You want me to go first? You go first.
I just went, so you can go ahead.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna do one that is actually on both of our lists, and it's probably my most recent game that made my list, which would be Uncharted 2.
Good man. Yeah.
Hands down, like I liked the first one. The first one was pretty good. There's some stuff that I didn't like about it, and there's some stuff that got a little old sometimes, and you know, some of the fights were cheap, and some of the quick time events were stupid, and there were some complaints, but all in all, a good game. Uncharted 2 is amazing. I've never played a game that has felt this much like a movie. Like, you're playing through a cinematic experience with characters you like, with a plot you care about, when I genuinely laugh at a game for its timing and sense of humor, like its ability to actually be comedic, and it was like watching an Indiana Jones movie. It was
Nathan Drake is a great Nathan Drake, and this
he's
is going to get
character.
This is going to get a lot of hate from a lot of classic video games fans. Nathan Drake might be one of the best video game characters ever created. Like, he's a great character.
He's the best modern character we've got.
But
he's better than
Marcus
Fenix.
But Marcus Fenix sucks. I mean, I like that game, but Marcus Fenix is a one-dimensional character. Voiced by the guy that does the voice for Bender on Futurama, which fucking kills me because it doesn't sound anything
DiMaggio,
like him.
DiMaggio, right?
Yeah, it's
something
hilarious.
DiMaggio?
Yeah, something
DiMaggio.
You can
hear it, actually. If you listen, you can hear it.
Yeah,
a
it's
little
the
bit.
Same guy. But I got to echo everything you said about Uncharted 2. I can't say. I've said it time and time again on this show. I absolutely love that game. I think that is, like, that is gaming turned into high art, in my opinion. Like, it's a great playable game. Like, it plays well. The storyline's great. The action sequences are great. Like, there's nothing bad about that game. There's nothing I could even nitpick about that game where I was like, I didn't care for that. Like, everything was awesome.
No,
and
I didn't have no complaints about that game.
And I didn't want to put it down. If I had I guess I could nitpick one thing. I wish it never ended. I wish, like, they just kept releasing new, like, episodes, like, week after week. Because I love that character. You know what I mean?
I can't even say that. I think that the game was not too short, but it was not too long. It was perfect. I can't wait for the next one.
I know.
But I thought this, and I
liked the multiplayer is good.
The multiplayer is good. I actually enjoy going back and replaying the levels and, like, looking for shit and, like, getting achievements. Like, I normally don't go back to games and play them again, but I've been enjoying that. That game is perfect in my, like, as close to perfect as I played this year. And I really didn't expect it to be, after playing the first one, I expected it to be good, but I had no idea it was going to be that good.
All right. Well, I'm going to give mine, and then the boss has one in the chat that he wants to talk about, and I'll get to his right after mine, and then I'll open it up to everybody else, and then we'll get to wrap up the show. But my last one, and I had to say this, but I can't mention top 10 games of the decade without mentioning Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare. Pretty much set the standard for online first-person shooters. The fact that it
raised the bar, that's for sure.
I mean, it's what every games, first-person shooter games are still trying to live up to the first one. And the second one's really good, too. But you have to mention the first one. The way they introduce the perk system, the way they introduce the leveling, you know what I mean? The design, the fact of, to put it in the modern day, because I don't not a lot of games did that. Everybody put it in World War II or they put it in sci-fi settings to make the game realistic. To have the photorealistic graphics, it was mind-blowing. And then all the crap that they added to the multiplayer without taking away from the single-player experience, because even if you never played that multiplayer, Call of Duty Modern Warfare had a good single-player campaign with a pretty good storyline, especially for a first-person game. Just a great game. It's one that's probably talked about too much. You're probably sick of hearing about it. But, I mean, it really was and is a fantastic game and something that, I mean, it's kind of like the way I feel about games like Quake and Doom. Like, people are still playing Quake and Doom somewhere. You can probably find some LAN party where somebody's still playing Quake and Doom.
People
are still
playing Counter-Strike.
Yeah, people are still playing Call of Duty Modern Warfare, the first one. I mean, it's fucking good. And it really did change what people... I mean, thank God it came out with the way it did its online play, because everybody's copying it. And the whole incentive-based program for online gaming, while it makes you fucking a lunatic and play the game way too much, it's cool to have all the incentive. I love it. It's not just a high score. It's not just a good kill-to-death ratio. It's cool to be like, well, I need to get to this level so I can get this gun or I can get the special perk. It's a neat way to add almost like RPG elements, well, experience points, things like that, to a war game. I thought it was incredible, and I still do, and I love the second one, and I just think it's something that has to be mentioned. But what do you think about that, Cox?
Well, you know, I love that game. It is a revolution. Everyone's been chasing, ever since it came out, everyone's been chasing that formula. Even Uncharted 2's multiplayer chases that formula. And you had, like, games like Halo Online had leveling, but that was just basically say how much you killed and how much you played. There was no benefit to it,
right,
other than your little tag change. The fact that you're, like, having that RPG almost grind, them
sure,
dangling those carrots in front of your face, keeping the servers full. And on top of that, you got top-notch gameplay and, you know, good online community. It's awesome. It is... I love the second one. I loved Call of Duty Modern Warfare, you know, Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare, Call of Duty, I don't even know what this one is. It's just Call of Duty Modern
Warfare
2.
Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2. It's kind of like a Rambo First Blood, and then the second one's called Rambo, yeah, First Blood Part. It's very confusing.
Yeah, Evil Dead and Evil Dead 2. But yeah, I think it's a very, it's too big a force to be ignored, honestly.
Yeah, well, that's how I felt. But the boss, his game of one of the games of the decade he wants to mention is a game we actually talked about last week, Red Dead Revolver. I can't argue. I love that game. I thought that game was awesome.
The second one.
Like he says, it's something where Rockstar and Capcom kind of came together on. But yeah, it's actually, and I said this last week, it's kind of a weird story where Capcom developed the game and then kind of decided not to publish it, and Rockstar saw it and was like, hey, this is a good game, so they decided to publish it. So that's why it didn't really have a lot of the traditional Rockstar elements in the game, but it's still a quality game. And like Gogs just said, Red Dead Redemption, definitely, if you haven't checked it out, go to GameTrailers.com, check out their coverage of the game, because they just put out an introductory video showing some of the stuff you can be able to do in the game, and it looks amazing. And if you're on, I assume it's on Xbox Live too, but they released a trailer for it on PSN last week, and the trailer for it is fucking amazing. But it promises to be basically Grand Theft Auto 4 in the Wild Wild West, and it just looks awesome. I'm very excited. It comes out in April of next year. So April next year will be a busy month. You'll have Kick-Ass coming out, and then you'll have Red Dead Redemption. But definitely, Red Dead Revolver should be game that's not overlooked because it was very cool, flew under the radar, and I really, really enjoyed it. But before we friggin' close up this segment, Prozac, you got any games that we haven't talked about you'd like to talk about before we end the video game segment?
Sure. The games that that are my favorite are usually the ones that are kind of overlooked or under the radar. I would say the GameCube, Eternal Darkness.
It was great
game.
I completely forgot about that game. Was fucking grand.
Good call.
Awesome.
Very like Resident Evil.
I was sold on that game as soon as I heard about the insanity meter. I mean,
yeah,
this
Resident
thing
Evil
is like
meets
the Andy Kaufman of video games. Where basically, if you let your insanity meter go too high, the game just starts fucking with you. It'll start turning up the volumes. And then one time scared the shit out of me. I had my lights off in my room, and all of a sudden, I see a shadow of a roach go across my screen. And I lived in an apartment in Boston, and they were spraying for bugs and shit. And then all of a sudden, a whole bunch of roaches start going across the screen. I'm like, oh, fuck. And I flip my lights off, and then I realize, oh, it's just a fucking game.
I got the one. What was the one? And there'd be random which ones you would get, like all of a sudden you got the corrupt file or something, and like your game would freeze.
I remember that.
Go to the loading screen. And there was one where everything would just start, like sometimes you'd be playing and just the walls would start bleeding. And I was like, Jesus Christ.
As a Lovecraft fan, as an H.P. Lovecraft fan, I thought that game was great because it was definitely very Lovecraftian because, you know, he always talks about how there's like a level of the mind where like if once it breaks, like you can't give back. You know what I mean? Like there's like a level of insanity that like it's over. And that's exactly
relate to that.
That's what that game is all about. And I thought it was really cool. While it wasn't specifically about Lovecraft, like it definitely felt like they definitely took that inspiration from the books. And I really liked it. It's a shame. It's a total shame that it came out on such a turd of a system. But
they really need to next-gen that game and release
it. Did they ever put that out in the Wii store? Because you could run that on Wii, right? Because Wii can run GameCube games, can it?
Yeah, but I don't think they have any. I don't think Wii can run GameCube games, but I don't think you can download any GameCube games. I think that's too big.
Oh, yeah,
I mean,
were mini, those were DVDs.
Well, yeah, because Wii doesn't have a fucking hard drive. Thank you very much, Nintendo, for their awesome design. But anyway,
if you can find it in, like, used, it's definitely worth hunting down. If you liked Scarecrow levels in Batman Asylum, then you're going to love Eternal Darkness.
I liked it a lot. I thought it was cool.
That was one of the few GameCube games I saw to the end.
Yeah, but you didn't
$125 brand new.
Holy shit!
On Amazon.com, I sold my copy for $20.
You're telling me, Gogs, you didn't play Luigi's Haunted Mansion all the way through?
Actually, I did beat Luigi's Mansion all the way. I beat Luigi's Mansion. I beat Eternal Darkness. I beat Rogue Squadron 2. I was a day one GameCube guy. So
you
I was
were,
waiting.
You
was
really
like,
were. You're the only person I knew that had one. But
it was
Eternal
Darkness.
Darkness.
I wish they
Prozac. That's a great pick. That's something I totally forgot. That game was awesome. They definitely need to reboot it.
It was like for me, everything else that came out on the GameCube was just downhill from there. And then I just like that's when I quickly bought the Xbox.
God, you're pretty knowledgeable. Who developed that game? What company developed
it? I was just looking at that. It was the Silicon Knights, the same people that made Too Human.
Too Human was terrible.
Huh. Yeah.
What else did Silicon Knights make?
The ogres reacted horribly.
They made something else that was good, didn't they? I thought they did.
They made Metal Gear Solid the Twin Snakes for GameCube.
Oh, the GameCube. Yeah. Anyway.
They made Legacy of Kain.
Legacy of Kain was awesome. Which one?
Yeah, they made
the
that.
First one? Blood Omen?
Blood Omen.
Oh, Blood Omen.
Blood Omen, Legacy
shit.
Game.
I love that game. Jude Terror, you play video games, don't you? Or are you listening again?
Very rarely. I used to play a lot more before I had
You're very quiet, sir.
Now it's...
Are you in...
I play them very rarely. I used to play a lot more before I had the kids, but...
Sounded like you're in the toilet. Wait a minute, I gotta get the mic.
I have my microphone up.
Well...
Christmas. Well, you guys talked about GTA 3.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely. Yep.
I would amend that and just add to it that that GTA Vice City.
Oh yeah. Great.
You know,
game.
Brought a lot of aspects to that game as far as you talked about the music in GTA 3, but Vice City was the first game like that to include real music.
That's true. You know what? I totally forgot about that, Jude. You're absolutely right. I totally forgot about that. I thought that you're right. You're right. Yep.
Yeah, I like Vice City a lot more than I like San Andreas. I think I might like Vice City more than I like Grand Theft Auto 4, and I like Grand Theft Auto 4.
I didn't like San Andreas.
Vice City was awesome.
I didn't like San Andreas very much. I hated all the micromanaging crap that they added to it. Like, I didn't like the fact that you had to, like, work out. I hated the fact you had to eat and all that stupid nonsense. Like, that's why I thought Grand Theft Auto 4 was really awesome, because they went back and they're like, what do people like about this game? And they made it more like Vice City, more streamlined, you know, more just to the cool stuff, and less dumb, like, I need to do push-ups every hour and a half nonsense.
You know what did suck, though, about GTA 4? And I like the game a lot.
Sure.
But they took out some of, like, the really fun cheat codes.
Yeah.
That you had in the old series, like the flying cars and the one that made all the pedestrians give them guns and made them attack you. You know?
Yeah,
there's really shit that... They took what was a pretty... They were starting to get kind of ridiculous in San Andreas in both levels of options and crazy shit you could do. And I always thought Grand Theft Auto 4 was kind of them taking the idea and just kind of Scorsese-ing it, making it, you know, more of a movie, more of a serious thing. But that actually turned a lot of people off and drove a lot of people into the open arms of
Saints Row.
Of,
Saints Row. I love Saints Row, too.
The end result for me with the GTA 4 thing is that I wound up, you know, like with even with San Andreas, and definitely with Vice City and GTA 3 and Vice City Stories and whatever, is I would sit there for, you know, for years and just play those games. Like, you know, I had friends over and late at night we'd pop it in, just put on like ridiculous cheat codes and, you know, play it till 4 in the morning. And I didn't find myself doing that with GTA 4. I played the story.
Yeah, it was more of a story game. Yeah, you're absolutely
right. Well, apparently
with
the downloadable content, the Ballad of Gay Tony or something, is apparently it brought a lot more of those things back, like skydiving and big ridiculous nonsense.
Right.
All that good shit that people missed. Apparently they brought a lot of that back.
Yeah, see, I was one of the people that didn't like all this silly stuff. So, like, I think that's why I loved Grand Theft Auto 4, but Goggs and I have a mutual friend that hates Grand Theft Auto 4 specifically because of that, and he loves Saints Row and Saints Row 2 because Saints Row 2, like, focused really, didn't have a focus on the storyline at all, and it's all about the just crazy nonsense that you can do in that city. So, I don't know, different strokes, I guess, for different folks.
But that wasn't even that was just a side note. I was going to say the most influential game of the 2000s had to be World of Warcraft.
Yeah, we said console only, so we excluded that right off the bat because I hate PC games. But now you would be right in that if we opened it up to PC. It's hard to argue that because, I mean, Christ, World of Warcraft makes so much goddamn money. I mean, it's the
biggest player base of anything.
And Mr. Goggles on the other end of the microphone used to spend, I don't know, 30, 40 hours a week playing that fucking game. Used to.
That's
hey,
why
Goggs,
I never got it.
Hey, Goggs, you want to hang out tonight? No, I got to go to bed for work. And I come home at like 2 in the morning. Click, click, click. Fucking hotkey your fire spell. You fucking. That was the worst thing about World of Warcraft. Goggs would actually lie because he was embarrassed he was playing that game. It pissed me off more. Like, if he just told me he was playing, it wasn't that bad. But he'd actually, like, make up excuses so he could play that game. And
embarrassing
to Goggs' wife, well, at the time girlfriend, but Goggs is now wife's credit, that woman is a fucking saint because she would sit there and knit and read while Goggs played World of Warcraft. So there you go, guys. If you want to find a good girl, find one that'll, like, sit there and deal with all your goddamn ridiculous video game playing. But yeah.
Yeah, point.
But Goggs definitely used to play that game quite a bit. But you don't play it anymore, do you? Do you stop playing?
I haven't played it in like... I've been off the pipe for well over a year, I think.
But your character must have been pretty awesome by the time you stopped, right? Like, your character was pretty high level, I assume, right?
But I mean, it's all
nerd alert. Nerd alert. What was your character, Goggs? What were you?
I had several. I had let's see.
What was your main?
My first. Here you go, all you World of Warcraft nerds listening to this podcast. My first pre-Burning Crusade 60 was an undead rogue, and then my post-Burning Crusade, I had a 70 Night Elf Hunter, who was pretty jacked up and all through all the good shit. And then that's the guy, that hunter, did all the molten core raiding and did all the old school 40-man raids. And then I had an undead priest, and then I had a Death Knight for a little while. And then that's that.
Oh, so you played all the way into the Lich King.
Well, the Lich King, well, actually, there was a little bit there. I stopped playing for a while, and then...
Goggs? Uh-oh. Did we lose Goggs?
He's gone back to World of Warcraft.
He's like, I should reinstall and check it out. And he's like, easy. So he's like, I came back and started a Death Knight.
You dropped out for a second there.
Oh, like how my pusher friend convinced me to come back to World of Warcraft when my Xbox died for a week, so I started up a Death Knight and played that to 80, and then I gave up again.
Oh, man.
Purpled
I only
out
played
80, by the way.
I had one, I had one main, a warrior tank, prospect warrior that I played in Burning Crusade, so it was a 70. And purpled out with raiding gear from, like, from the low level 10-man raids there, but eventually I was forced to quit.
Full Karazhan nonsense.
I was given an ultimatum that I quit by Amy. So I haven't played World of Warcraft since in over a year now. I'm not allowed.
It's funny because once you quit, you realize how ridiculous it was. It's more ridiculous than playing any other video game because it's like you put all this time into making something. You're putting so much time in. You're not even enjoying it anymore. It's not pleasurable. It's just, it's doing work to obtain things that are completely intangible. So that they're always,
no, you get
that will
sense
constantly.
Of satisfaction.
Well, temporarily,
no,
maybe,
don't.
But.
Oh, yeah.
Game,
I mean,
the game is made in such a way that they got you by the fucking short and curlies. Because they're going to. There's a. What's the word I'm looking for here? You become obsolete before you know it.
Planned obsolescence. But. You know, that's another instance where South Park is completely brilliant. And for those of you that haven't seen the Make Love Not Warcraft episode of South Park, go over to South Park Studios now and watch it immediately because it's absolutely hilarious and it's totally spot on. But what happens are the boys of South Park get killed by this all-powerful Warcraft character who's going around and just murdering everybody in the land. So they come up with this plan that if they kill these like little low level boars, if they kill like millions of them, that they'll rank to like the highest rank they can possibly get, and then they'll defeat
which would
this
never
guy.
Work, by the way.
Well, obviously, but goddamn it, Jocks.
Nerd alert! Nerd alert!
But anyway, so they do this, they literally like devote their entire lives to this cause, and by the end of the episode, they're all fat. And they're like pimply and like they look horrible and they're shitting in buckets and it's real bad. But the best is they defeat the guy and they're all like, hooray, we defeated the guy. And so I think it's Stan asks Cartman. They're like, okay, we beat the guy. Now what? And Cartman goes, what do you mean now what? Now we play the game. It's like it's so fucking. It's like so what Goggs is talking about. Like there is no end to it. Like it's so appropriate and so funny. But that episode fucking cracks me up. I'll never forget too.
Can I also recommend The Guild? It's available on Xbox Live and on the web. The Guild.
I've heard about that. I heard it's pretty funny.
Oh, it's hilarious. It's sort of like a little 5-minute show each episode, and it's all about this guild. Of people that play World of Warcraft, and it's just like dead spot on for people who play.
I'll have to check that out, but
definitely worth it.
Definitely check that out. Definitely check out the South Park episode because it's fucking brilliant. I remember that South Park episode came at the height of Goggs and a couple of our other friends playing it, and our one friend couldn't understand that was. Like, obviously that episode is making fun of Warcraft, and it's, you know, it's showing that the game's fucking pointless. But But our one friend insisted that the episode was actually being complimentary towards Warcraft because he was like, much like Tom Cruise in Scientology, he was so brainwashed with Warcraft, he could not see the folly of his actions. Gogs, in the chat, the Boss Bass would like to know if you played Final Fantasy VII at all, the very popular PlayStation 1
console game. I did not. That was the PlayStation 2 MMO, right? Oh, wait, I'm sorry, Final Fantasy 7?
7, dude, yeah.
Oh, with not Cloud, the MMO? Oh, yeah. I played, Sephiroth. I did play that. I didn't play a whole ton of it because I never had a...
The
first-gen
one,
PlayStation.
The one that was
I
the
did.
MMO for PlayStation 2 was Final Fantasy XI, and no one played that.
Gotcha.
So.
I did play probably a good 20-so hours of 7, and I felt like it only scratched the surface. I heard that game was like a 70-hour experience.
Yeah, I played 7. I don't know. I'm like the only person in the world that didn't hate 7, like, or that didn't absolutely love 7. And I also think I'm the only person in the world that liked Final Fantasy 8, and everybody hates Final Fantasy 8 and loves 7.
I liked Final Fantasy 8.
I liked it, but it just wasn't as good. I thought, like, 7 was a better experience. But.
Yeah, I don't know. 7 was good. 7 was good. And when they killed Ares, it was a big deal. It was like, holy shit, but... I don't know. I liked 8, and my favorite Final Fantasy, which everyone's going to have a problem with, is my favorite Final Fantasy is Final Fantasy X. I love Final Fantasy X. It was the only Final Fantasy where I actually cared about the characters. I loved it. I love the characters so much, it caused me to play the gayest game ever made, Final Fantasy X2. And I was actually saying to myself, oh boy, I can't wait to get all the dress spheres. I mean, like I was so embarrassed.
I don't
embarrassed.
Know what that means.
Well, see, in Final Fantasy... All right, I'm not even going to go into it because it
no,
is...
No, let's not get into it. Let's not...
It's way...
The fact that they're called dress spheres.
Well, it's an all-female cast. But I loved Final Fantasy X, and I actually liked X2. And X2 was good because it introduced the combat system that they ended up using in Final Fantasy XII, which was good. But anyway... Oh, yeah.
My favorite
and
Final Fantasy was Kingdom Hearts.
What's that? I never played
My favorite
Kingdom
Final
Hearts.
Fantasy was Kingdom Hearts. Really?
I swear to God, I know everybody's like, what? I heard it was good. I never played it. I don't know.
It's like the dumbest concept I've ever heard of.
But I heard it was a good game. That's
Everyone
what people...
loves it. I refuse
yeah.
to
yeah.
play a game where you swing a key around with Goofy.
It was a stupid concept, but it is an awesome game. And it's awesome the way that they present those like old school Disney movie worlds in like a... You know, in a fantasy RPG setting, it's if you haven't played it, fucking what the fuck?
I'm trying. Yeah,
you're
I'm trying to get.
You're gonna
I'm
see some shit
like
Avatar in the
bucks.
Theater. You won't play Kingdom Hearts.
No, it's not that I
you
won't play
definitely
it.
Go play it.
It's not that I won't play it. I just haven't. Like I don't know. I don't have anything against it. I just haven't. I didn't really have any interest in playing it at the same time. Oh yeah, and Boss Bass has got one more piece of good feedback. He's talking about Final Fantasy Tactics, and yeah, that was really good.
Yeah, those are
so
all
is,
good.
So is
those.
Going way back on the Super Nintendo. Ogre Battle was fucking awesome, but that's made by the same people, believe it or not. The same not Square, but it was made by the same like development team. But yeah, Final Fantasy Tactics was awesome, and I think available on the PSN for download for your PS3 or PSP. But
I
don't
know my DS. I like
do
that.
You? Oh yeah, that's yeah. right. They released it for that too. but anyway. Shit, it's almost 12. Is this our longest running show ever? We've definitely gone.
Not yet, but it's pretty fucking close.
But you know what? I think this is a good show. Fuck it. It was long, but I thought it was entertaining. I think we did a good job. I don't know. Yeah, everybody had fun. So let's go around the room real quick. Gogs, I'll end with you, but I'm going to start with my buddy Jude Terror. Jude, you have any words of wisdom to leave our audience with at all? Or?
Don't do drugs.
Always a classic and also very true. Prozac.
Warcraft.
Well, if you're still out there looking for last-minute gifts, you can go to theouthousers.com, where the talented Egalson posted up an article with the last-minute Christmas gifts for geeks and features most of the Outhouse writing staff, including Jude Terror and myself. And you can look at what we think you should be buying for your friends.
Nice. Gotta love that outhousers.com. And Gogs, what's that web address? One more time.
It's www.theouthousers.com.
DJ voice?
Hey, everybody, that's www.theouthousers.com.
Boomer and the Nudge. Gogs, the Boss Bass has some closing words, but he hasn't typed them in yet. So, Gogs, go ahead with your closing thoughts, and I'll wait.
I just say it's been another great show. Enjoyed it. Thanks. Enjoyed the calls in. Enjoyed the spontaneity of it all. enjoyed having Gary Busey doing push-ups naked in my basement, waiting to sing Silent Night. And also KOTAR, Knights of the Old Republic. Great game that came out this decade. So there you go.
I couldn't get into it. I borrowed it on your Xbox for like 2 weeks. I just couldn't get into it.
I know, buddy.
I'm like the only one. But Boss's final words for us is that he wants us to do a segment on alcohol, what we like and what we don't like. That's a good idea. And we'll definitely do that next week. Next week is going to be our New Year's episode. So what better place to talk about drinking than New Year's? Because God only knows you drink and drink and drink on New Year's. And
we should make resolutions.
Did I say next year or next week? But anyway, yeah, we'll do that. Resolutions. We'll talk about drinking. We're going to talk about movies coming out in 2010. We're going to talk about fucking my upcoming New Year's Eve party. That's going to sure to be a fucking the talk of the season. And all kinds of stuff next week. So tune in here next week, 8:30 Eastern Standard Time. You know the time. You know the place. Check us out on iTunes if you like. And always, always above all else, even above listening to this awesome show, go over to theouthousers.com, the greatest fucking website ever. It's better than fucking getting a blowjob from a hooker and not paying for it. But I'd like to leave you with a little non-traditional Christmas music. Please stick around for the lyrical stylings of MC Chris. And everybody have a good night. Thanks for stopping by. Good show tonight, guys. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Later, bonus.
See, this is the way to meet girls, by being cool. I've always had this problem with girls, and that is, and I'm sure everybody has it with members of the opposite sex, and it's supposed to be a girl. And, you start talking to them, you can be real cool and real confident up to a point, and you start to ask them out or something, and it's like you lose control of your lips, and you get nervous and mealy-mouthed, and so it's like, yeah, I'll be going to London for a couple of weeks, and then, I'll be back here in 2 weeks. No, I'll be down in New York for some space for some business there. I'll be back here in about 3 weeks. And listen, when I get back, I was wondering if maybe you might play.
Ladies, out of back. Ladies, out of skinny. Ladies, out of all night on my jibby. Ladies, that won't charge me a buck 50. Just wanna get with me cause I'm so pretty. Bitties, the wanna bite off a little something. Best parts on top like a Drew Berry muffin. Bitties, that wanna turn on the love oven and cook up a casserole or stove top something. This type of something cause you fair with my cause I'm honeydew bunsen. I got your Georgia from my push and got my finger on the button. S-Y-M-C be stressing. Wish I could erase this erection. Honey's coming at me from every direction. Looking for the love connection. I think he's ready sexin' with no protection. So line up the contestants. I'll open up the drawers like the kid in the sixth sense. I won't persist this distance. Gotta get up in this. She fucking up a Christmas.
Fucking up my Christmas is a new way of saying fucking up my shit. This is not so much a holiday or a storm as it is an exclamation of dismay at the sight of a beautiful woman.
She fucking up a Christmas business. Hey. Kissing hooks in tiny tidbits. I was fine till you was in my business. With your volleyball booty and your frilly pink tits. Yo, what up with this?
What up with
it? MC Chris. M in my name stands for monolith. There was not a list. You're a finalist. Here's a sash for that ass instance dominant. Here's my hotel key and some common sense. Get up to my suite or you're incompetent. Do you want to be a winner or the opposite? Lick your lips, drop some shit, stand step on it.
Fucking up my Christmas is a new way of saying fucking up my shit. This is not so much a holiday or a concern as it is an exclamation of dismay at the sight of a beautiful woman.
Well, listen, you want to come over to my place? Well, look, just in case hell does freeze over, we're going to hijack.